This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Man, it's getting crazy out there. We got an estimated 70 to 90,000 Russian troops amassing just near the Ukrainian border. Ukraine is responding. The U.S. and EU are worried that Russia will actually invade Ukraine. And Joe Biden has apparently threatened Vladimir Putin. Now, what we know definitively is that it's like sanctions. Okay, we're going to cut you off from gas, maybe the international financial system. But there's also a statement from Sullivan, who said that, you know, we have deployments in Europe already, and we're now looking at what more deployments we might actually have. So he didn't want to say we're going to send troops because we already have troops there, but maybe more. But now it's getting crazy because apparently there is a Republican who said we're not taking nukes off the table, boots on the ground. Yikes. Probably a really bad idea, but we're going to get into all that. We've got images, we got photos. We have Donald Trump basically mocking him, mocking Biden, saying Putin doesn't care what Biden's saying. And then we got this crazy story, Oliver Darcy, saying that the media is secretly meeting with the Biden administration to collude on how to cover the failing economy. Hey, surprising, isn't it? Chris Cuomo gets fired for his collusion with a Democrat, his brother, but this, of course, is okay. I'm glad. Look, props to Darcy for reporting this. And then we got Elon Musk saying that people need to have more babies, which would be pretty interesting. He's saying civilization is going to collapse. Joining us to talk about all this and probably a bunch of other stuff is Steve Bannon.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Good to be back. I love the new studio.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Geospatially, I didn't know where I was when I was watching the Tim Pool show.
Mm-hmm. Until I got to everything's different now.
It's all different. I didn't realize. I said, where do you get the axe and and everything? But now I see the whole new studio.
It all makes sense.
With it.
The sword.
Well, they call those guitars axes.
And we are going to be, we have an antique Civil War rifle we just found at an antique store. It's crazy.
It's
a model 1861 Colt percussion rifled musket. Oh. Never been fired. Mint bore. And I'm stoked. It's so cool. It's a Union weapon that was never commissioned.
Made from the Silicon Valley of the early part of the United States up in the Connecticut Valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colt manufacturing.
Yep, making weapons. 10,000 were ordered, but this one never got sent out. So it's almost. I mean, look, it's got 160 years of wear and tear. It's a model 1861, made in 1862. So pretty cool stuff. But Steve, thanks for hanging out. And I guess you know what? How would you describe yourself? You know, to someone who's not heard of you, there's a lot of people who've never actually listened to you that listen to us. So I'm curious how you describe yourself.
Populist, nationalist, traditionalist. Pretty simple.
There you go. That's simple enough.
Populist, nationalist, traditionalist. Believe power should be back as close to the people as possible. I'm an ardent economic nationalist. Believe that every country in the world should look after its own self-interest. And traditionalist, traditional values and the traditional family, what Elon Musk is pumping for.
That's why I thought that was interesting. We'll talk about it.
Well, we'll talk about it also because I think the prior announcement was about putting chips in your brain.
I know.
That was the misdirection play. Oh, by the way, we should have more robot babies. The big announcement was he wants to put chips in everybody's brains by the fall of 2022.
Okay. Is that what he said?
Yeah. No, it's coming in 2022.
He's chips. All right. We'll get into it.
Neuralink is going to have chips in the minds of humans, not the lambs and sheep. You've seen them in the pigs and all that stuff. No. It's coming to human beings by 2022. That was his big announcement. The misdirection play was, oh yeah, we've got to populate the earth by having more babies.
Wow.
Transhumanism, Tim. I've been ranting and raving and screaming about it for so long. And, I definitely think, the shirt I'm wearing today is very appropriate for our guest. It says specifically, jailing people for victimless crimes, the unofficial slogan of the Biden-Harris presidential campaign.
Luke, Kamala looks really ripped in that photo.
She is. She's a very strong lady.
I knew it was the anarchist would get me in trouble here. They're going to come and get my ankle bracelet, right?
Hey, I think you're right. I don't think you're wrong on that. And if you want to support me and what I do, you could by getting the t-shirt on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. I also just released a Fauci Emperor Palpatine going after puppies and monkeys. That's also available. I couldn't fit in the orphaned children. I apologize to the people out there. NIH experiments, orphaned children. Look that up. Crazy stuff's happening. I'm excited for this conversation. Thanks for having me.
Ian Crossland over here. Happy to be in the house. What's up, everybody?
And I am also here pushing buttons with one of my favorite guests. We love having Steve Bannon in the house. Love hearing about what he's up to. And he's a fantastic commentator. I genuinely think he's like the next Rush Limbaugh. So if you guys don't listen to War Room, you definitely should.
Before transhumanism, by the way, is one of our biggest draws now.
Oh, yeah.
Big part of the show.
We have
a special editor that does nothing but it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Actually, interesting, when you look at the traffic, it's one of the biggest things that drives traffic.
Yeah.
It's such a serious topic.
Are people into it or scared of it?
Mm. Both. We're talking about smart death. We're talking about all this other, 2030 new future technological advancements. It's I would say awe-stunning, but that's not a word.
Awe-stunning is a great word.
It's crazy what's happening out there.
Globalization is the misdirection play to take your eye off the ball of the singularity. That's the signal, not the noise.
Let's talk about it for sure. Before we get started, though, head over to timcast.com. Become a member and you'll get access to our exclusive members only section where we have tons of awesome conversations behind the scenes. It's a special segment, usually about a half an hour with all of our guests, and we swear a lot. It's not very family friendly, but you definitely want to check it out. We'll have one up for you around 11 or so p.m. But also, we just hired another journalist, Michael Robinson, who's been writing a ton of really awesome stuff. And the more people who sign up, the more journalists we get to hire, the more work we get to do, and we get to launch new shows. We started a pop culture show. We're going to be actually launching, I think our first book should be ready before Christmas. Ooh. From Tales from the Inverted World. So it's
cool.
I'm really excited about the first book, but I'm also kind of antsy because the second book is Ghosts of the Civil War. Our writer, wow, Shane, went down to the
so
South,
cool,
investigating lost gold, ghost stories, wow, mysteries, UFO sightings. And he was talking to people who are like, he was telling me, he's like, man, they really hate Sherman down here. So I'm excited for that one. That'll be our second book. But definitely, this is all thanks to your support at timcast.com. Don't forget to like this video right now if you're watching on YouTube Live. Subscribe to the show. Share it right now. Take that URL. Paste it everywhere. We're going to be talking about what's going on. And if you go to timcast.com and click store, you can get our Step on Sneck and Find Out shirt. I'm very, very much a big fan. Or you can buy the poster that we made to troll the entire country and continent of Australia.
Yes.
It says, visit Howard Springs, totally voluntary relocation camp. And it shows a police boat chasing a guy while there's razor wire on the beach. And you can buy these and you can basically just hang them up, you know, wherever you think it's appropriate for people to, you know, if you want to show off in your storefront or something, or, you know, get that and let people see it. So with all that being said, let's talk about this first big story. I love this headline from Axios. It's just three words. Biden threatens Putin.
Wow.
That's amazing. They say in a video.
How far journalism has come.
yeah.
Concise.
Well, hey, I mean, that's a good thing. It's better than some sensationalist 20-word title.
Oh, okay.
We'll keep it simple. In a video call that lasted for just over 2 hours on Tuesday, Biden warned Russian President Putin that if Russia invades Ukraine, the U.S. will impose unprecedented sanctions and provide additional weaponry to the Ukrainians, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said. Now, Axios doesn't want to go as far as to say U.S. troop deployment because Sullivan kind of danced around it, saying he doesn't want to say we're bracing for, you know, rotation of boots on the ground because we already have rotational deployments in the Baltics. But he is saying that is entirely a possibility, the U.S. getting involved in a ground war in Ukraine. Sound like a bad idea?
Sounds like a terrible idea, particularly on the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, right? So I think this is, once again, this is the EU has been pressing this fight forever, right? They're the ones that talked about the expansion of getting the Ukraine in. This is where the more radical members of the EU and NATO talked about making Ukraine a member of NATO, right? This has been pushing and pushing and pushing forever. Biden's also doing this for political expediency. He needs a wag the dog moment. The Wall Street Journal's polling came out today. Absolutely horrific, right? I think it's 26%. Right track, wrong track.
Whoa,
26% right track. 62%, 63% wrong track. You've got among people who think he's doing great versus terrible, it's 37-6. These are unprecedentedly yep. low numbers, not just on Kamala Harris, on him. He has lost the country, okay? And now he has no political capital to support this orgy of spending that's going to bury everybody up on Capitol Hill. So he needs to change the conversation. Here's how he's going to change the conversation. He's going to be a tough guy, right? He's going to push around Putin. So he's going to try to use this to purely for politics, to try to get his ratings up, to show he's a leader. And this is a disaster. And I got to tell you, it's not Biden. It's the Uniparty. The worst comment of the day was not from the pencil neck Jake Sullivan. Right? Mm-hmm. They should be focused on the Chinese Communist Party and what's happening in Taiwan and the South China Sea with censure. The worst comment was from the senator from Mississippi, Wicker, who said everything's on the table, including combat troops, not just the 200 advisors they have in there now, combat troops and tactical nuclear weapons, a nuclear strike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this guy's just, he's just, it's, he's blowing hot air. Come on.
He's not blowing. I'm not, listen, he's a very respected member. He's a very respected member. Particularly, I think he's on the Armed Services Committee. This guy was on Neil Cavuto. This is not a lightweight. Mm. Look, he's in the United States Senate. Well, you have guys in the United States Senate say combat troops and tactical nuclear weapons are not, a nuclear strike is not off the table.
And you brought up a very important point because historically when the popularity of leaders goes down, you know, history says that those leaders start wars and conflicts. Mm-hmm. And if there was a conflict between the United States and Russia, China would of course take advantage of that situation, invade Taiwan immediately. And geopolitically, yep, this is one of the worst situations that the United States could make because we should be working with Russia, aligning with them and establishing Thank a better it. Relationship Thank because it. There is a lot of tension between Russia and China, but with us going full force against Russia, it's absolutely idiotic this was, this on the was, world
this
stage.
This was Trump's plan. This was the reverse Kissinger-Nixon in 72. Look, you have the Eurasian landmass, okay? And right now, American foreign policy since 1914 has been, we will never allow one power or a series of power to control Central Asia, the Eurasian landmass, the world island, right? Because he who controls the world island can control the world. Yeah. So think about it. On December 7th of 1941, you had Germany, Italy, the Empire of Japan. They had just broken up. Russia was a part of that. They had just, you know, just come apart with the attack. Today you have China, Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, and with North Korea and Russia, and we have forced those guys into the Chinese camp. You talk about internal politics. Putin needs this too for his internal popularity, and Xi needs this. You have three leaders, all for political reasons. Let's do the mullahs in too.
Yeah, but Steve, I would push back a little bit because during the Trump presidency, Trump sent lethal weapons to Ukraine, something that even Obama was scared of doing. And when you look at his, foreign policy, it was pretty much on par, especially when it came to bombing Syria. Because when we look at Syria, when we look at Yemen, these are the proxy wars that are happening between Russia and the United States. And there might be another one in Ukraine.
The only guy in the National Security Council that fought to not launch the cruise missiles into Syria. President Trump did not want to do that at the last minute. That was kind of an accommodation to the Uniparty.
But wasn't it Ivanka Trump who also said that she was crying, and then it was Trump's son who said it was her that convinced them to bomb Syria? Wasn't that Trump's own son?
I don't want to say that, but people were putting in front of him, about the children being the chemical attacks with gas, which we found out later
was not true at all.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's put more pressure on Putin than Trump had. Okay, but you're right. I think trying to work with the national security apparatus,
which
Morning Joe, these guys, David Ignatius, the next day, he's acting like a president.
Brian Williams, these missiles are amazing and beautiful and glorious. They called them presidential, and they loved them. They adored them.
This is what McMaster was about.
Yeah. Now, of course, Biden's not any better. Biden called Putin a killer recently, and then a couple days later, he literally bombed a U.S. aid worker and killed seven children after that. Yeah. So Biden, I think, is even worse, but I think there's a coherent foreign policy that has been steady against Russia throughout the last few presidencies.
Look, my youth, I was on a destroyer hunting Soviet submarines in the South China Sea. But it's so nobody's more anti-Soviet, anti-communist, and the Russians are run by KGB guys. They're bad guys. Yep. That being said, they should be an ally, not an enemy. We have a problem with China right now trying to consolidate the Eurasian landmass, and China is coming at us on Silicon Valley West, in Taiwan, South China Sea, and against our ally, India, in the Northwest frontier. And Biden's done such a bad job with our great ally, India. The front of the Financial Times today is, wait for it, Putin and Modi sitting there hugging, right, cutting a deal because this is what President Trump and Modi, nobody could have been closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our central ally against China, right, with Japan. And here you got, this thing is in total disarray. Okay, the American people have voted about Biden right now. First off, you can tell 81 million people didn't vote for him. These polls mathematically couldn't be this low. But these are unprecedented numbers. In the 20s, First of all, if you get in the 30s on right track, wrong track,
but
you're done.
But the polls have swung. I mean, it started, he started off.
The collapse is too much.
Afghanistan was the start of the collapse though. Right? So around the,
I think that was a triggering mechanism. I think it was bad up until about COVID. People didn't know which way it was going.
I do want to keep us focused on the foreign policy stuff, but I do want to say, I think what happens is, like I said before, last time you were here, Trump was anti-elected. The Atlantic story, stay alive, Joe Biden. I think people voted for Joe Biden because they didn't care and they were convinced anything was better than Trump and they were deceived. And now they're realizing just how awful of a mistake they made in electing this guy. And you see around Afghanistan when they're like, he gave up our airbase. But I don't want to rehash all that stuff. I want to talk
about. But you can see it in the Ukraine. We're going to make the same mistakes. First off, when you have people, remember, Wicker had been briefed. Okay. He just didn't walk into that interview cold. He had been briefed. They've had discussions and he said nothing should be off the table. That means they're actively discussing combat troops, deployments to the Ukraine, and they want to keep on the table. His words, not ours, a nuclear strike.
But here's what I want to mention. You're talking about China. It was, I think, Pompeo who said that China has infiltrated the U.S. at every level.
Every level.
Every level. We've seen numerous, how many professors have been arrested for basically giving away our research to China, double dipping? China's paying them, the U.S. is paying them, then they're giving our research away. I think Pompeo was right. And so I'm concerned about when I read the story about Michael Flynn, and I think, was he talking to Sally Yates? Is that what happened? And he said, I think Russia is not a big threat. I think China is the bigger threat. And she panics. She's like, oh, no. Sounds to me like they are colluding with China. We know that Don Jr. and Biden fly on Air Force 2 to go do that private equity deal. And now you're wondering why.
Not Don Jr.
Hunter Biden.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Where's Hunter?
I deeply apologize.
Where's Hunter?
That was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden and his dad fly on the plane to China for a private
Air Force
deal.
2.
Air Force
in,
2.
In an official capacity.
Don, don't get mad at me. That was a mistake. No. But in all seriousness,
first of all, $4 trillion. For your audience, understand something. Your pension funds, $4 trillion of American capital have gone into China to finance it through Larry Fink. This is the collusion of Wall Street and global corporations. You know, the NBA player just called them out the other day. You had today, Apple announced a $275 billion joint venture in China to help their technological prowess. Have they invested $275 billion in the heartland of this country to increase the technological prowess of the United States and the workers of the United States? No. This is a company protected on American soil, and they're an active partner of the Chinese Communist Party. Look, to make the system work, it's not a conspiracy, to make the system work, you have to have the slave labor of China. The slave labor of China and the state-owned industries, okay, keep wages down throughout the world. That's why Wall Street and the Party of Davos finance it.
Yep.
That's how they make the profits.
And they want to make China the rest of the world. And it was the Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller policy that in the 70s instituted all of this and literally have set it up for the global world. They want China to be the rest of the world, social credit score, surveillance states, smart cities, smart grids, all of that. It's first being implemented in China, and it's going to be implemented in the United States.
And now we're going to get bogged down. Remember, let's put it in perspective. The Chinese Communist Party is the greatest enemy we've ever had. The largest economy, the most sophisticated, right? The one with the deepest culture, 5,000 years, 10,000 years. Russia is the economy is the size of New York State. Okay. It's the size of New York State and it's imploding. It's a demographic death spiral. They don't make any technology we want. They got great hackers. And you know what they got? They got natural gas that the Germans and others want, right?
It's the GDP of Italy.
So, exactly.
And yet we're going to put, you have a U.S. senator, a Republican, and this is one thing I want to say is a populist and a nationalist. This is the type of neoconism that has destroyed the Republican Party and helped to destroy this country. The $9 trillion we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan over 20 years, and what, the 10,000 or 12,000 combat casualties or the killed in actions plus the 40 or 50,000 casualties is because of that thinking. Wicker's thinking today, oh, everything's on the table. Boots on the ground, combat troops, and a nuclear strike.
So I want to kind of wrap this all together. We heard from Pompeo. We've been infiltrated by China.
Sure.
Joe Biden's his approval ratings are in the trash. He needs some kind of combat. So he points at Russia because he knows Russia's no real threat. And he doesn't care about China, or at the very least, he wants China to succeed.
In the media, remember, in Washington, D.C., and remember the first impeachment trial, Russia is like, you know, I want to call the 1980s and get their foreign policy back. Russia is considered a 50 times bigger enemy than the Chinese Communist Party. And one of the reasons is the money the Chinese Communist Party has spread all over town with the journalists and all that. Russia is a zero. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is in a demographic despot, and don't get me wrong. They're bad guys run by the KGB with lots of nuclear weapons. Okay. And they've got troops, but this situation in Ukraine is a European situation that they force it on us. And to do it on the commemoration of Pearl Harbor, right? I think is extraordinary for him to do that.
Let me pull up this story. Look at the exact quote here. We have this from Mediaite. GOP senator floats U.S. troops on the ground and nuclear strike against Russia. Quote, I would not rule that out. Wow. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi told Neil Cavuto on Tuesday the U.S. should keep all options available when dealing with a potential Russian aggression against Ukraine. That even includes a preemptive Whoa. Nuclear strike. Whoa. That senator appeared on Fox News hours after the teleconference between Biden and Putin. Quote, Senator, some of your Republican colleagues think that we should have troops in the region. They never delineate exactly how many or that they'd be utilized in an outright confrontation with Russia over Ukraine. But their mere presence would be effective. What do you think of that? I'll tell you this, Neil, said Wicker. I would not rule out military action. I think we start making a mistake when we take options off the table. So I would hope the president keeps that option on the table. Cavuto presses, what does military action mean? He says, well, military action could mean that we stand off with our ships in the Black Sea and we rain destruction on Russian military capability. It could mean that we participate, and I would not rule that out. I would not rule out American troops on the ground. He added, we don't rule out first use nuclear action. We don't think it will happen, but there's certain things in negotiations. If you're going to be tough, you don't take off the table. And so I think the president should say that everything is on the table. Do you know, Steve, the current power, how do I ask this question? The nuclear bombs we used in World War II. Do you know how many times stronger a modern nuclear, an ICBM close. Is? 1,250 yeah. times more powerful. Yeah. A multiple independently targeting reentry vehicle, a MIRV, can drop 12 payloads from one ICBM. It is laughable how insane that destruction would be from one. How many does Russia have? They got what, like 50,000?
Yeah.
The U.S. has what, 25?
This is the type of loose talk. There's one thing about negotiate and leverage. This is the type of, when you actually put on the table a first strike, over Ukraine, this country is going to go to war over Eastern Ukraine.
Yeah, what is this Russia?
This is what we're going to do in a killing field in World War II. What, 15 million died on the way when the Nazis went through, and 12 million died on the way back, right? And they were fighting for each side. You couldn't tell who was fighting for whom. No, this is. Think about it for a second. If people had a belly full of Iraq and Afghanistan in 20 years in the great deplorable sons and daughters who fought there, and my daughter was after West Point, went to Iraq, she deployed to Iraq, and I can tell you as a parent, you know how little power you have in life when you're praying every night that they just come home in one piece. Think about it for a second. Just after extracting ourselves from there because the American people said no more. Told the elites, and he did a terrible job of getting out, but we got to get out of this thing, and President Trump wanted to do it from day one. To know that they could be having a conversation on a guy at a high level in the Senate that's been briefed, a Republican, and you can put on the table combat troops and first strike nuclear. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. And before the show started, when we were talking about Ukraine, I compared it to Europe's own kind of Afghanistan. There's no winning or losing in Ukraine. It's only death, especially when you look at the larger history of what happened there. And today, the Ukrainian government had a military parade. The Ukrainian defense minister said that this is going to lead to a bloody massacre. He's warning Europe about 5 million refugees, and he's not wrong. Russia is making a very strong stance here. They're saying that they want a legal guarantee that Ukraine will never join NATO or become a base for weapons that can target Russia. And they are saying very strongly that they will guarantee this themselves if they have to. They don't want to. There was a two-hour call between Biden and Putin, whose, of course, relationships are very tethered, especially after Biden started attacking him publicly. But there's also plans for future talks. Luckily, we're still in the phase of diplomacy, and we need more of that.
Far be it from me to go back to Hunter Biden. But it shouldn't be lost on people that Biden's, you know, gig with Burisma, that whole nightmare, right, was the Russian thing. These guys have been skimming money off the crooks in Ukraine for decades, okay? The Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative, they've been out there with their hand out with these guys. You can't trust any of them. A pox on all their houses, and the American people cannot be sucked in to what Brussels. Brussels has been forcing this. Raheem Kassam's done some incredible reporting. He was there back in 15, I think, when they had the color revolution, or 13 when they had the color revolution.
I was there as well. I was in my day.
Exactly. So my point is, you've been there.
Yeah.
Why are we in 2021 with all the problems we had, and we extracted ourselves out of here, that now we're talking about an active deployment when we got our hands full? No to the Biden administration and that pencil neck Jay Sullivan. You got enough problems. Show me you have a plan in the South China Sea and around Taiwan, because if we lose Taiwan, you're not going to get a Ford F-150 for 5 years. Okay.
So I want to pull this up from Wikipedia. Roger Wicker is on the Senate Committee on Armed Services.
The biggest of the big. That's the Armed Services Committee.
Right.
Because you have the Pascagoula Naval Base, you know, Stennett and all those guys.
Well, I think that's important to point out.
This is big time. He's not some guy wandering around. This guy's briefed. He got the highest security clearances. He got briefed on that. He said they are actively running models. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I'm saying when you look at the spectrum of things, that nothing should be off the table. Guys in the Pentagon, in the national security apparatus, are running scenarios. He said it. Scenarios where you're going to have a first strike tactical nuke, and you're going to have American combat troops.
Is this? Are the Russians? Do they want the Ukraine for them to annex it or something? Well, I know he annexed Crimea. Are they?
Ukraine was very close to Russia with its sphere of influence.
They'd actually say the eastern Ukraine. They would actually argue it's part of Russia.
Doesn't Ukraine just mean borderlands?
Yes.
That's what I was told when I was in Ukraine. It means borderlands. That's what they called it, the Ukraine.
Yes. Interesting.
Now the people of Ukraine say drop the and just call it Ukraine because we're a country.
Mm. Yeah.
They changed the spelling of Kyiv too.
And then there was a lot of U.S. intervention and a lot of nonprofits that got involved in Ukraine. And there was a revolution that was orchestrated. And that, of course, turned Ukraine from being corrupted by Russia to being corrupted by the European and NATO side. And now there's still corruption in Ukraine because the revolution was all based on corruption. That corruption has still continued to this day, and some people would argue was even made worse by this larger transition, quote, revolution, as some people are calling it.
Biden just kowtowed. Look, he had the four-hour meeting with Xi. Beforehand, he said, you know, on the stage, he said, oh, we're gonna defend Taiwan. He had the four-hour meeting, never mentioned the Wuhan. You look at the two readouts. You look at the Beijing readout. You look at the U.S. readout. Not one mention in 4 hours of the Wuhan lab or the CCP virus. Not one second of mention. He kowtowed. And he came out of there and said, oh, we're a firm believer in the one China policy, that Taiwan's a region of China and eventually will be united. We believe in we have the one China policy. He kowtowed. He's gutless in China. And now he's trying to show his commander in chief bravado in against Russia in the Ukraine. This is another disaster.
It's that insecure bully on the playground who's like, I'm going to prove I'm top by picking on the little kid.
Hmm. Where's Corn Pop when we need him?
Yeah. Where's Corn Pop? It's funny. I mean, look, Obama called Russia a regional power. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, they were a regional power. That's what they are.
But, you know,
they aspire to be a world power like they used to be, but they're not. Did I mention that the economy is the size of New York State and they're in a demographic death spiral?
When Obama said this, it was seen as a slight.
Yes.
You know, he was disparaging Putin because he knew Putin wanted to bring back the Soviet Union, that power, and he couldn't. And he was, you know, he was basically being like, look at us, we're the big dogs, and you're just a regional power.
Russia should be our ally in breaking up this Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, run by the CCP, trying to consolidate the Eurasian landmass. They should be an ally. We have forced them, right? And like I said, they're not good guys. They're not good guys. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they could have been the enemy of our enemy, which is the Chinese Communist Party.
I don't like that, you know, that idea. But I do think it's fair to say the enemy of my enemy can certainly work out an agreement with me in dealing with our mutual enemy.
How do we win World War II with Joseph Stalin?
That's right.
If we hadn't had the Russians to take 25 million combat casualties, we would have never defeated Hitler and Mussolini in the time it took to destroy him. But remember, just for the audience, today's the 80th commemoration of Pearl Harbor. Franklin Roosevelt went, I think, tomorrow, technically, and declared war, the date that lives in infamy, declared war tomorrow, 80 years ago, on the Empire of Japan. He did not declare war on Nazi Germany are the Italian fascists. Hitler declared war on us the next day.
Yeah.
Because he had a secret treaty and he thought we were weak. He thought we were all talk and no action.
Meanwhile, we were building nuclear weapons.
And sending lots of money and weapons to the British.
But they were also working on nukes too, weren't they? We just beat them to it. I mean, they were developing rocketry.
Very close. That's why they had the heavy water in Norway. Yeah,
That's why after the war,
we took a lot of their scientists.
And the Russians did as well. Yeah, so the Russians took their scientists experimenters.
They veered away from nuclear research into the VR-2 rocket research so that they could start hitting
the cruise
England.
Missile. Yes.
And then because of that, they didn't get the nukes in time.
Wow. Bad decision.
But they would have.
Yeah, because the Blitzkrieg, wasn't that the Zeppelins over London? Was that what it was?
Yes.
So if they had gravity bombs, and if they focused on gravity bomb research instead of cruise missiles, they would have wiped out.
And I'd like to tell Senator Wicker, the last time, the first and only time tactical nukes were ever used is after the end of a 3.5 year, one of the bloodiest wars ever had in the Pacific, right? Because the Japanese would not surrender.
The kids
And yet he's sitting there with the Pentagon. Think about it. They are running scenarios tonight as we talk. About putting I'm not going to say they're doing it, but they're thinking about it. They're not taking it off the table. So they're thinking now in modeling combat troops to join NATO and this EU army, right? This EU military thing that the French are trying to put together in the Ukraine, and they're modeling tactical nuclear strikes.
I did a lot of research on modern nuclear weapons for this segment I was actually doing with Discovery, Discovery Networks. And, I gotta say, like, it was shocking how little people who are, like millennials, for instance, understand the rapid technological advancement in nuclear weapons capability. The difference, and I will say this again, between what we used in World War II, that was a gravity bomb. What that means is, it was a big bomb, we dropped it out of a plane. Since then, we've created intercontinental ballistic missiles. Multiple independently targeted reentry vehicles carrying 12 warheads with 1,250 times the explosive power. And you know what else I learned? Did you know the radiation is on purpose?
Yes.
When a nuclear bomb goes off and it irradiates an area, that's intentional.
Yes.
There's actually Russian nuclear bombs that do not irradiate areas. And the U.S. has similar ones too. When we were doing this research, we looked at the simulation of which kind of weapon used by which country, what would the level of devastation be, the initial incendiary wave, the shock wave, and the radioactive area. And what they do is, I think the New York Times did this, it was over Manhattan. What would happen to Manhattan? And you would pick, like, I'll use the Russian whatever missile, and it shows a wave of fire. Just incendiary wipes out from river to river in New York. But there's also lower kiloton bombs that heavily irradiate the area. When we talk about nukes, people need to understand this. A nuclear strike on Russia could mean a lot of things. It could mean destroying that area for hundreds of years.
And it's not just nuclear weapons that we have to worry about, since, of course, Vladimir Putin even hinted at biological weapons,
yes,
natural disaster weapons, and also artificial intelligence weapons. As, of course, Vladimir Putin on the world stage a couple years ago came out and said, artificial intelligence is going to be a lot more powerful and lethal than nuclear weapons himself. He also said that the country that leads the world in the development of artificial intelligence will be the ruler of the world. So these are the types of situations that we're dealing with that is even far more complex than nuclear weapons, which on the base level we're just beginning to
I'm no Eric Schmidt fan, but the paper they put up for the Defense Department a year ago, and it came out with this book with Kissinger recently, but the paper they came up with a year ago said the exact same thing. Said that there's an arms race now on AI, and AI AI will be the future. There's already all types of weapons that can see
the future. If you have a smart enough artificial intelligence that can calculate probabilities and variables in the proper way, looking at all the data from social media, they can predict things.
I would imagine it would be able to control drones, turn them around, drop bombs on their other targets, missiles,
I want to talk about biological weapons. Look, what came out of Wuhan, we know, was part of the PLA's, CCP's biological weapons program. Okay? That was being researched at the time. So you could have all types of biological weapons. Ukraine is a scab you don't want to pick. Okay? Because there's going to be a lot of pus coming out of there.
I want to point out an easy way for people to understand the power of artificial intelligence. Take a look at what they're talking about with self-driving cars. You know, I've got a Tesla. I could sit down in it. You pull the thing down twice, the car drives itself. Now what they're talking about is we're not going to need the road signs we have and all of these things. We don't need them. You're not going to need any road signs because the cars talk to each other. So when two cars are coming at each other, you don't need lanes. The cars just know how far apart to be. And once all cars are smart, look at what they can do and predict and how they can move around. Now think about the weaponization capabilities of that. They will be able to use social media data, communications technology to predict exactly where someone will be. We've long joked, and I know this is meant to be silly, that Facebook knows when you poop.
Yeah.
They literally do.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There was an article talking about how Facebook can predict based on how long you've been sitting in one place, when the last time you got food was, that they know when you will go to the bathroom, and they predict that. Now imagine you've got a military general. Oh, they can predict when you poop. They can also predict where you'll be, when you'll be there. They can effectively see the future. And then they can just say, drop a Hellfire missile. And you know what? We got an 87% chance of him actually being there. That's going to be the future of AI warfare. It will be terrifying.
Or just get people's DNA, and then you know what they're predispositioned to get injured from or allergic to or affected by. And this is one reason why the Chinese have been doing their damnedest to get as many COVID tests as they can back to China so they could harvest the DNA of all the Americans. And there's also other crazy incidences.
What's the source on that?
This is the FBI, according to the L.A. County Sheriff, who came out and said that he's not going to be participating with the COVID test because they're linked to a company that's connected to China that is data harvesting and taking people's DNA. Okay.
But that's We have the source. Just keep talking.
I got a gajillion other things to say. I feel like Emperor Palpatine. It's just real quick.
I want to be very careful because when we say things that, you know.
Got to back it up. Yes.
There's going to be a lot
particularly
of.
Particularly in this area.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling you, when people listen to this on iTunes or whatever, they're going to be like, what? NPR.
Yep.
February 24th, 2021, China wants your data and may already have it. This is talking about COVID, and they said that, okay, as COVID cases begin to rise, a Chinese company contacted several U.S. states and offered a set of testing labs. As a byproduct, the Chinese firm Beijing Genomics Institute would likely gain access to the DNA of those tested. February 24th, 2021, from All Things Considered, NPR.
Yep.
This is as mainstream corporate press as you get. China is getting your DNA.
Yes, and when they get your DNA, they could game the big pharma market, but also in the kind of levels of dirty bombs or biological weapons, they could lead the world in sending off something on the world that can only affect a specific amount of populations with a specific gene sequencing. So the level of warfare that we're dealing with, I would say we are already at war, but information fifth generational warfare is a lot more powerful than bullets. And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you know about this or not, there was also a lot of crazy incidences reported with American ships, nuclear ships, literally just being turned off, and a lot of the people not knowing what was going on.
Cyber attacks?
Yes. Not just cyber attacks, but also just in the water, and then something flies over, and then the military ships are just turned off and they can't turn on. There's also some theories about aliens intervening and stopping nuclear warfare. So there's a lot of different things out there. I'm just interested in what you heard about it personally, being inside of the White House.
Real quick on that, we had those stories about those lights, those weird drones or whatever following the battleships. It's very likely these are just this is just technology that exists.
Yeah,
that can
EMP
disable,
technology
or whatever. Who knows what it is? We don't need to get specific. Technology exists that can disable our
weapons.
What's
your clearance?
Something
practical. I think you're going to see polling that's going to come out. I think people are going to get in to start polling. And if Biden thinks his numbers are low now, wait till they start polling people on, do you support sending combat troops to the Ukraine? People are going to go, where's the Ukraine? Where is that again? Mm-hmm. This is the uniparty. This is the elites that rule us. So far ahead of the American people. Because you know what? Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's kids aren't going to be there. Wicker's kids are not going to be there. Okay, this is once again the deplorables that are going to get deployed to a part of the world we've got no business in. Okay?
I think it's fair to say mostly it will be the deplorables' children.
100%.
But I will say, I want to stress, there's going to be a lot of regular poor working class families who are going to suffer from this. It's not just the deplorables.
Well, deplorables are poor working class families. That's what I said.
We should start calling them the deployables.
No. But look. That. The deplorables was used as a reference to, like, you know, the people who are supporting the populist movement, Trump specifically. But there's going to be, you know,
100%
politically uninitiated regular Americans. Who,
working class Americans and the poor and the sons and daughters of the poor, that's just going to get served. They don't care. Remember,
you said they don't care. Encourage it.
No, the elites don't care.
What I mean is I would actually take it one step further and say the elites want and encourage the poor to be shipped off to go fight bloody wars.
Yes, 100%.
It's not that they don't care. It's that they revel in it. They're glad it's happening.
That's why people have to stand up and say no more. No mas. This is absurd.
You think there's an intentional – they want the Americans and the Russians to fight so that the Chinese take – like currency control, basically? You think this is the Davos plan?
I think the Davos have this hatred. Because remember, the Soviet Union and a lot of these cultural Marxists and people that are associated with these things still would love the Soviet Union to be around. They hate Putin because he's a nationalist, right? He's very traditional, okay? It's a lot of reasons they say Salvini and a lot of people, Le Pen and the people in Europe, you know, like him because he's more they have an affinity to him because of his nationalist tendencies. It's one of the reasons the Uniparty hates him. And like I said, they're bad guys. They're all from the KGB. They're all oligarchs. It's completely a corrupt system, right? It's a country in a demographic death spiral. Economy the size of New York doesn't make anything technologically that the world wants, but it's got some of the best hackers in the world. Right. Yeah. And by the way, tons of nuclear weapons, very sophisticated on defense.
Syrian hackers were actually based in Moscow.
When the Soviet Union split, did all the nukes go to Russia or most of them go to Russia? Or did they go all over the place?
I think that didn't go to Russia were the ones in Kazakhstan. I think the guy the ruler of Kazakhstan is the only guy that really, you know, turned them into plowshares. Right.
Wow.
The rest of them all went back to the basically Russia. They don't think anybody else got rid of him except the guy in Kazakhstan. But look, the KGB guys are dangerous. But the Uniparty hates Putin. But that's one of the reasons Putin is butting up to the CCP. Now they've got that unified thing. They've got, and look, we're hitting three geopolitical crises at the same time. You have the South China Sea in Taiwan. Actually, you have the Northwest frontier in India. You've got this nuclear deal with the Iranians that is totally coming unwound. And now you've got the Ukraine. And all these are, we're forcing these, except for what we should be forcing, which is Taiwan in the South China Sea. And we gotta take a stand in Taiwan. If we lose Taiwan, it's Silicon Valley West.
What's the Northwest frontier in India?
That's up in Afghanistan. That's where Pakistan.
Yeah.
In the Himalayan mountains. Already the Indians and Chinese have been fighting each other
for about 2 years. Yep. And by the way, I think they're kind of on, what I hear is that the Indian Army is a much higher alert up there than they're letting on. That's a friction point. And think about it. The CCP has come down and surrounded India down in Burma, right? Or Myanmar revolt there. So they're trying to isolate India. India is the key that picks the lock in our Indo-Pacific strategy.
What happens come, you know, Trump, you think Trump's running again?
I know he's running again. He's going to win again.
He's
going to win the presidency for the third time. Can I say that on YouTube? He's going to win the presidency for the third time in 2024.
Well, Trump is not the president. Joe Biden is the president.
An illegitimate president.
And if Donald Trump runs again, do you think India comes and works with them? We know that Modi and Trump were good friends.
Yes. And they're both nationalists. And I think that Modi and Trump, the biggest event Trump's ever had in the country was Howdy Modi down, I think it was in Houston, 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Modi and Trump are very close. And not just that, we're closely aligned, right? He understands that Trump is the one person who's ever stood up to the Chinese Communist Party. Trump is running in 2024. Trump is going to win in 2024.
I think enough
of your audience heads blown up.
Well, as soon as you bring up the election stuff, we are completely obligated to address it.
Okay.
We absolutely have to. We'll be deleted off YouTube in 2 seconds because of that conversation. And so, what I'll say is, it's frustrating for me the level of optimism that I don't want to tell people not to be optimistic, but in 2020, and we talked about this in the member segment, last time you were here, when my skateboarder friends who work on minimum wage and can't tell you the name of not even one Supreme Court justice, let alone define what it is, are making TikTok videos of them voting by mail. And then I'm going back to like my friends and all of them are like fervently supporting Joe Biden. Today, some of these people have left the country.
Wow.
So
Hold on, the skateboard crew and some of those guys?
I know a couple people who have already left the country. And it's not necessarily because they were like, oh no, Biden's so bad. It's more like, wow, like, this is not a fun place to live. I need to find something better. And I don't think they correlate their actions in supporting Joe Biden in 2020 with what's happening now. So I will just stress, in my experience, you know, we had,
I know you and I disagree with this. I want to say, tell YouTube that Tim is adamant that Joe Biden won. Mm-hmm. He's been adamant that Joe Biden. And so it's a deeply held belief of yours.
Look, I'm not going to pretend like I have all the answers to everything, but I will say that when we've had our conversations with people like Matt Brainerd several times, there's always been a here's what we think, not here's what we know. And so my attitude is what Republicans have done poorly is ground game. And I'll tell you, I think one of the biggest impacts on the 2020 election was universal mail-in voting, not because of any kind of fraud. I certainly think, like what Bill Barr said, yeah, there's fraud. You know, we don't think there's that, you know, is there enough? And I've not had anybody come to me, you know, you've got wild and crazy accusations from people like Lindell and Sidney Powell. But when it comes to the more like, you know, we want to do a forensic audit, nothing definitive has come out to the point where it's been laid out. But I will say this. I want to keep
you on YouTube. Let's have that conversation in your silent behind the wall chat or some other time, because I can walk you from Wisconsin to Georgia to Maricopa County. Not to it tonight, but we'll do it. I'll get Navarro and we'll walk you through the whole thing, chapter and verse.
We had Navarro here too. Yeah, we should do a big conversation. Yeah. But I will say this. One thing to consider, absolutely. First, I have my anecdotal evidence being someone from Chicago and knowing tons of people who they couldn't tell you what Supreme Court justice meant. They're like, I don't know what that is. And I'd be like, okay, well, like, seriously, they don't.
Yeah.
These are minimum wage workers. They skateboard. They don't understand or want to understand. But I'm watching these people post videos. One guy filmed himself in first person with his mail-in ballot to go to, and I'm like, these people were absolutely, they were locked down for a year. The only thing they ever heard was Orange Man Bad over and over again, and everything that you're suffering from is his fault. Here's what I think happens. When you have a dense urban population, like New York City, where you've got these big buildings with, you know, 1,000 people live in it, you can get two Democrat activists to go door to door and say, see that mail-in ballot, sign it, fill it out, I'll wait. But when you're talking about Republican voters in suburbs...
Or I'll just take that mail-in ballot and I'll fill it out for you.
Perhaps. But Republicans can't do that. You're in a suburb, you're going to go drive door to door. The amount of houses that a Republican on ground game could get to advocate for universal mail-in voting is substantially lower, substantially, orders of magnitude lower. Dense urban populations where you don't need to walk more than 20 feet to knock on the next family's door, whereas in rural areas, you might have to drive maybe like 2 or 3 blocks to get to the next house. That is the level of ground game that I think needs to be focused on. When they come out and they say the shadow campaign and here's what we did, I think it's very important you pay attention to that. And keep that in mind moving into the next election. And I agree with Mike Cernovich, too. When Trump came out and started talking about all this fraud, it was effectively voter suppression because they convinced people not to go out and vote. So I look at this two ways. We've had multiple people on talk about this. I have not been convinced. And then we've also seen the detriment to future elections because of the narrative that there's no point. And I think that is something we need to avoid. So that's why I'm kind of like, let's just tell people.
That's why you got to get to the bottom of 3 November. Get to the bottom of 3 November. You saw this in Virginia. We had 95%. See, this is the false narrative of the left. Today, they're all on, you know, MSNBC all day. They got the long faces because why? We're getting people to take over school boards. We're getting people to sign up to be precinct committee men. We're getting people to take over election boards and to take over the county clerkships, either volunteer or by voting. But, you know, Democrat, all democracy, all small D Democrat. And they can't stand it. They have every branch of government. They have the media. They have high culture, low culture, middle culture, pop culture, universities, all of it. And they're freaked out because the American people now are stepping up and doing this. In Virginia, we had 95% participation as election officials and by poll watchers, 95%. In 2020, 33%. The last gubernatorial race, 27%. The Republicans are not going to allow ever again, not with new laws. We don't need new laws, but to get to the bottom of November 3rd and to make sure that never happens to us again. Okay?
I say it this way.
Remember, last November, in November 2020, we had sweeping victories across the country. Mm. Villages in Connecticut.
Miami.
We had Long Island. The Villages of Connecticut. You had the county prosecutor, the city prosecutor in Seattle.
I think we should definitely do a much longer issue because I don't want to detract from the news we're talking about. But I do have to say, when you see the suburban housewives voting Republican in Virginia, what was it like a 30-point swing? They don't like Trump, man. I think it's. You see this victory for the Republican in Virginia when it's not Trump, but it's a lot of the same.
But
policies.
This is also the orange man bad thing. I think it's over. The other thing is people. I think they can live with mean tweets now. Okay,
because I agree.
That's what the 26% right track, wrong track with a two hand. The right track with a two handle in front of it. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Nixon when Nixon walked across the lawn and took the helicopter out of there. I think it was 230. I think it was still 33 or 35% approval. He wasn't in the 20s. People are seeing. Recklessness, they're seeing incompetence, and most importantly, they're seeing that they don't respect us. You've seen everything that happened on Capitol Hill. Look at this thing with Ukraine. All of a sudden, Ukraine comes out of nowhere, and in 24 hours, we're talking about maybe tactical nuclear weapons, right? There's no respect for the American people to sit there and say, hey, here's our plan, here's our policies, here's what we're trying to accomplish.
Here, let's do this. Yeah. I think we disagree on only some, but I want to have a conversation with you. We'll do this in the member segment where you can walk us through.
Well, let's not do it tonight. I want to get Navarro and take time on your member section. We'll walk through. We'll bring the charts of the state. I think it's something you guys see graphically,
but
and actually go through the details in Wisconsin and other things, and people can understand what we say about.
Well, I want to talk about another really big factor in what's going on today and what also went down in 2020, and that's media collusion because we have this tweet from Oliver Darcy. Hey man, shout out to Oliver Darcy for actually putting this out here. He said, some news in reliable sources. Senior White House and admin officials have been holding briefings with major newsrooms over the past week as they try to reshape economic coverage. The White House, not happy with the news's media coverage of the supply chain and economy, has been working behind the scenes trying to reshape coverage in its favor. Senior White House and admin officials, including NEC Deputy Directors David Kamen and Bharat Ramamurthy, along with Ports Envoy John Porcari, have been briefing major newsrooms over the past week, a source tells me. The officials have been discussing with newsroom trends pertaining to job creation, economic growth, supply chains, and more. The basic argument that has been made. The country's economy is in much better shape than it was last year. I'm told the conversations have been productive, with anchors and reporters and producers getting to talk with officials. To put it simply, they're having secret meetings behind your back because they want the press to change the narrative on the garbage economy and your suffering. Hmm.
This is what they did with Afghanistan. He wanted the Afghani president to tell everyone things were going just fine.
White houses do background briefings to people to make sure they can understand the complexities of issues, right? And help the media be smart and when they address it. That is not what this is. This is the fact that they have now spent how many trillions of dollars on bills that they've passed to juice this economy, and it's dead. If you take the printing machine away from these clowns, this economy is going to implode, and they know it. Okay, that's why they're up there today with Mitch McConnell and the Republicans doing a gimmick to get relief on the debt ceiling. Okay, now what Darcy's outing them on is that they're in back now because they got to have the media work with them to sell it to the American people. Remember, they're talking on the talk shows all week. The media is not, or Psaki said, the media is not doing. You're not doing a good job of selling our program.
Yeah. Yep.
Now they need a media partner to sell it. Okay, because every time you see anything with metrics like the jobs report last week, which was what, less than half of what the jobs report, and people got to remember, this is with a massive infusion of cash. They say it's, different than last year. Yeah, you've had another, $3 trillion. Another, $2.5 or $3 trillion have been juiced into the system. Okay? And yes, it's a lot worse than last year.
Have you seen this before?
I don't have my glasses on.
The M1 money supply?
Oh, yeah, right there.
I love it. Right around the starts of the pandemic, they instituted a change in reporting where they said your savings accounts are now basically checking accounts, which causes the money supply to explode by several hundred percent. But they try and argue, they always say to me, Tim, you don't understand that huge spike is just a change in reporting because savings are now. And okay, well, look at since then. Look at this spike. We went from, what do we got here? 16,583, and that's in what, billions, I think it is? Billions of dollars. And now it's at 20,000 billions of dollars in the span of what do we got? We got from June 2020 till October of 2021. We have jumped $4,000 billion in the money supply. This is massive.
This is fiat money. This is the reason they have forced you. I tell people, It's you, right now, and I'm not telling you to buy gold and silver or platinum, and I'm not telling you to buy crypto. But here's what I am telling you. You on your own have better get smart on your own. Sit there, do your study, talk to people, because they're forcing you. They're destroying the U.S. dollar in front of our eyes, and they're destroying it for generations to come. If they get this spending done, the $7 trillion programmatically that you can't take back, every person in this audience under 45 years old, you better start to look for another store of value than the U.S. dollar. You either got to look at precious metals, or you got to have to look at crypto. Yeah. Because they've destroyed. It's there. This is the machine. The machine right now is out of control.
And
you can see, look, let's talk facts. Look at this gimmick. Tonight, the one piece of leverage the deplorables have is the debt ceiling, right? They got to come to you and get 60 votes to kind of push the debt ceiling. You've got them by the short and curlies. And so tonight, as we sit here, they've got a gimmick up there to do it with 51 votes. So they increase it, and the Republicans don't have to take any hits for it. And it could go on. They need, and remember, they can't sell enough bonds to the Japanese and to the Chinese or to the insurance companies, right? They can't raise taxes. Taxes, all revenues to the government is around $3.5 trillion, right? They need that huge gap, which is $1.5 trillion a year in perpetuity, plus all these other crazy programs that are half-baked and they haven't thought through. That comes from printing money. Okay. And that is when people think it's free. It's not free. It's the full faith and credit of the United States of America. That would be this audience. Okay. That is on your shoulders. Okay. And that is what's going to destroy us. It's out of control, and the Uniparty takes care of themselves. That's why you have Wicker up there saying, yeah, we're thinking about combat troops and tactical nuclear weapons. The Uniparty, the party of Davos, the Wall Street, the global woke corporations, and the guys they paid in Washington, D.C.
What do you think happens to property value?
Well, I think right now, that's why I think, look, with zero interest rates, this is the scam. They have interest rates artificially low, near zero. The assets are increased. That's why you had the concentration coming off of the crash in 2008, the greatest concentration of wealth, because what they did, they took the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve from $880 million to $4.5 trillion, infused it with liquidity, the system with liquidity, assets blow up. Trump called in 2012, best time to buy stocks or real estate. It's coming right now. Same things happen. This is why we've had this greatest concentration of wealth ever since the CCP virus. And it's going to continue. As soon as they cut the machine off, the stock market will collapse.
So for the average person who's listening, they got a mortgage on their house, you know, 35-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage or whatever. What does this mean to them and their mortgage?
Well, if the 35-year mortgage has been done recently, first off, get as long-term mortgage as you can get, as cheap as you can get now, while rates are where they are. Because remember, by and large, outside of your house, which I realize is 90% of your net worth, negative interest rates, low interest rates, is an unfair tax on working class people. Your checking account, your savings account, you get no juice in it. There's no way for you to accumulate any capital. You're continually on the treadmill. While the Larry Finks of the world, why do you think they're going around saying, hey, you're not going to own anything, you don't need to own anything? We'll own it. Larry Fink's going around, they're buying up all the apartment complexes, buying up all the houses to rent it back to you. So on your income, you pay for it, and they get the increase in the asset value.
You'll have no privacy, you will own nothing, and you'll be happier more than ever. That's their policy that they've been pushing. And since the beginning of COVID, I always said the thing that's going to hurt people the most is not this virus, but the economic consequences of these larger moves that are being made. Because it's not only the devaluation of the U.S. dollar, it's not only hyperprinting the Federal Reserve just giving their friends all of their money on Wall Street, but it's also the destruction of the global supply chain and the global economy, which is being eviscerated right now, right in front of our eyes, and there's no fixing it, and it's only going to get way worse before it gets any better.
The two greatest concentrations of wealth in mankind's history was the result of the solution for the financial collapse brought on by Wall Street and their guys in Washington, D.C. in 2008, right? The solutions for that. And what happened with the CCP virus. Those are the two greatest concentrations of wealth. Now you have a 1% that owns 40 or 50% of the country. Here's the thing. If we don't start to restructure this and to get more capitalist into America, and that means every person's a capitalist, every person gets a piece of the action, this system as we have it now will not survive. It cannot survive, because the only way it survives is they got to keep printing money, and they're about at the end of that.
I just need to point out, because you can't see it on the camera, or those who are just listening, that every time Luke starts talking and getting into it, Steve just starts pointing at him like,
"This is my anarchist. This is my anarchist now."
Welcome to the light side, Steve. We're gonna enlighten you about government not being involved in our business.
The Sith Lord appreciates that.
Let's talk about I guess on this issue, what one thing that's always hard for me to answer, and that's why I asked about houses, is, you know, what regular people have to be worried about. I think the obvious thing is the price of your groceries. You know, so I've gone to I was at the grocery store recently, and I asked the lady who's doing checkout how price has been, and she's telling me it's insane. It's crazy. We've got, you know, I hear from more and more people talking about how they go to the store and they can't afford it anymore. So this is what happens. You've got people in these big cities who vote in someone like Joe Biden because the media colludes to prop up a narrative, to protect him, to do whatever. Then they don't know what's going on. They're ill-informed. For me, I'll tell you what I want. I want regular people to have their own agency and their own power. I want them to know as much as possible so they make the right decisions, so I don't got to worry about it. You know, it's frustrating. You know, I'm driving down the street and I see a guy and he's pushing a wheelbarrow, but he's backwards. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm like, that's frustrating me. Guy, spin it around. Grab it by the handlebars. Your life will be a whole lot easier. Then I don't got to worry about you screwing something up for everybody else. But what's happening with the media, the things that Oliver Darcy points out, is that regular people are confused and wrong. They thought Trump was the problem. Joe Biden, the Biden administration, the remnants of Obama 2.0 or whatever, that is the problem. It was the problem. I recognized it then, yep. And we're seeing it now.
I want to take this inflation thing. Let's use this as an object lesson on their smugness and arrogance, and I want to tie it back to what he just said. Mm. We now have a – remember, when guys like Peter Navarro and Steve Cortez on the War Room every day, and we're the first ones to call the pandemic back in January 2020, when we shifted the show. Those guys came on the day that Biden took office and said, hey, you look at this guy's policies. We're going to be heading into 1970 stagflation, which is slow growth and inflation. They're the first guys to start talking about, and Cortez is a guy in the pits, is a trader, and Navarro is a PhD from Harvard's economics department, top in the country, right? And I know guys laugh at him, but he's a damn good economist. They said this is not going to be transitory because now you have the double whammy. They've juiced the system, and they even sit there. Larry Summers, the guy, said we should have never done that interim. We should have never done that last $1.9 trillion that we did that Biden and those guys passed in the spring. We shouldn't have done that. So now you have the worst of both worlds. You have what is called demand pull, right, and cost push because of the broken supply chains and the structural problems that Navarro says never been dealt with from the CCP virus, and particularly because in China. So now you have a double whammy that's not transitory. It's baked in. It's 6, 8, 10%, right? And think about it. With wages increasing just at 2 to 3% and inflation at 6 to 8%, that's a 5 to 6% absolute tax on working class people. They're getting eviscerated right now. And remember, Ron Klain, the chief of staff of the White House 90 days ago said these are high class problems. Right? These are high class problems, right?
We saw that from the progressive left said the same thing.
Yeah. CNN said inflation is good for poor people and great for rich people. For rich people.
Let's go to Darcy's thing. That article right there is brilliant, brought that up. That is the single best example from Oliver Darcy's own network. If you look at that article, it's a joke. They came out the other day and said, hey, what nobody's getting here in the messaging is that inflation is actually good for the poor and bad for the wealthy.
Yep. Did you see the
This is they don't respect working class people enough to have the common decency to sit there and go, hey, here's where we are. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's what it's going to be. They just want to continue to browbeat you over there with information war to make it seem like it's your fault.
Well, that's because they're robbing and stealing them.
There's an old viral, old SNL skit that's been going viral. And I think it's Dan Aykroyd who says, you know, during Carter, hey, inflation's a good thing. Don't you want to own a $5,000 suit? Wouldn't you like to own a $500,000 car? I know I would. Smoke a $50 cigar.
That's actually kind of a question I have for you, Steve. Maybe you can answer it, maybe you can't. If you have a $100,000 house, the economy gets inflated by 50%, the house naturally is worth $150,000 now, just due to inflation. At what point, if you keep inflating the economy, does the house become worth zero? Or does the house's value no longer, it's not worth $100 million anymore? Like, at what point do you inflate more money, but the value drops?
At the point where people can't afford to finance it, right? You're going to have an asset bubble. This is, okay, one of the things that President Trump did, let's go back to 2008, which you know from the Occupy movement, when Obama came in And they had the balance sheet was $880 billion. And his guy said, let's inflate the imbalance sheet. The Fed just put, we'll just force cash into the system to save the system, to prop up assets. Okay. You had an asset bubble that was increasing. When Trump came in his first 2 years of office with that 3% growth, he actually took $1 trillion off the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. He actually shrunk. It wasn't quantitative easing. It was quantitative tightening. Okay. And that's one of the things he never gets credit for. Those kind of growth rates, low inflation with not unjuicing the system was an act of heroism. Now, Powell, when Powell came in and Mnuchin and these other guys, we started to put it back on. You've got, you know, the balance sheet of the Fed, I think is $6 trillion or $7 trillion today because of what the CCP rise. Besides, that's over and above what the national debt is. So my point is Wall Street always wants to inflate their way out of here. The problem is you get an asset bubble and then people can't afford it. And the real economy can't keep up. They don't have people that have jobs that can start to afford your $100,000 house that's now $1 million house. So you're kind of getting into a vicious circle. And this is what people are problem. This is the problem people have right now. Zero Hedge has a great article. I think it's from Birch Gold. The guy's name's Brandon Smith, I think it is on Zero Hedge today. It talks about the coming collapse. Right. And the coming collapse is when they got to stop printing money, because in printing money, remember, it's on the backs of working class people. You or your kids are eventually going to pay this off because they ain't paying it off. Right. So that's why it's got to be certain things go up, and particularly like housing and some of your assets, your asset value will go up. Now it's about, can you get priced out of, can kids today, because you have no capital, you have no ability to accumulate capital, how do you get the down payment? Or you don't have a great enough job to actually make the mortgage payment. Yeah.
You're paying for it already with the dollar being devalued.
And let's jump into the Black Mirror solution.
My anarchist economist right here.
We got some news. I mean, so the first story that we saw about Elon Musk was that he was saying people got to have more babies. And then, Steve, you brought up that he was like, yeah, and he also said he's going to implant chips in people. Not chimps.
Chips.
Not chips, I hope. In people.
He did it to a monkey first.
Well, check out this story from Daily Mail. Elon Musk says Neuralink could start implanting chips in humans in 2022. People with severe spinal injuries would get the tech. The billionaire says could help them walk again.
That's
Trojan horse.
Yeah, that's the Trojan horse. We're going to save the guys with the paraplegics, and that's part of it's all great. Okay, but this Neuralink is quite dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Two TV shows I want to reference as we get into this: Outer Limits and Stargate. SG-1, there's an Outer Limits episode where everyone's got a device on their faces that connects them to the stream of data. But the stream is a collective, essentially, that it's an AI that effectively controls people's minds, but they think they're getting clean information. They think they're being shown the truth, so they act upon what the information they're given is, although it's seeking to protect itself. In Stargate SG-1, they go to a place where everyone's slowly dying off, and they're all, you know, connected to this like AI system that erases their memories as people die, so they don't know what's actually going on.
Wow.
These are the dangers of what you get with like a neural link. I don't think this is true, but I was told that the lore of the Borg in Star Trek, third show, is that they were like regular. Are you familiar with the concept of the Borg?
No.
They're an alien in Star Trek, The Next Generation. They fly around these big cubes and they say, you will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. They are cybernetic. They are all one hive mind, and they implant you with chips to sync your brain up to their machine. And the idea, I guess, was, again, I don't know if this is actually part of the Star Trek lore, but this is what I was told. They were regular people developing medical technology, just like us. And they started implanting more and more and more until they started connecting. And then the natural process by which they connected their minds created a hive mind naturally. So we look at what Elon Musk is doing, and he says, we're going to heal people. How long until it's Twitter, but it is on steroids? You've got everyone just marching in lockstep behind a tribal ideology.
This is why Facebook went to Meta. Look, you have the convergence of a bunch of technologies that are happening here. Advanced chip design, which is Neuralink. You have artificial general intelligence, which is artificial intelligence that kind of recreates itself. You have regenerative robotics. You have CRISPR. You have advances in biotechnology. The convergence of those and a couple of other industries are converging on this point called the singularity. On this side of that point is Homo sapiens. On the other side of that, let's say it's Homo sapiens plus, okay? And this is, hey, on climate change and all that, is that an immediate crisis? I don't know. I'm not a climate change denier, but I can look at the evidence and don't know if it's absolutely as immediate as they say. The immediate one I can tell you is this crisis of we're coming towards this, because there's no regulation on this. Once again, your audience has to understand, as happened with shipping all the jobs over to China, it's your money. The Greek tragedy part of this, everything about the singularity is financed by the pension funds of the deplorables in this country. They are the venture capital firm. Remember, the venture capital firms, the private equity firms, the hedge funds, it's all your money. From your pension funds, from your insurance companies, from your banks, that's the money's done. And what they're doing is coming up with the convergence of this, that who knows, you know, they're going to be designer, who knows how this goes? It is hurtling so fast. And now this is the thing about Schmidt in that report. And if you read Kissinger and Schmidt's book, they're telling you, well, guys, hey, guess what? We don't have a choice here, because it's an arms race. The most dangerous weapons in the history of mankind are being developed right now in artificial intelligence. Oh, by the way, the Chinese are here, the Russians are here. So we have to get into this arms race. You're going to have this exponential growth of this.
In 30 years, there's going to be some 18-year-old who's had a neural link since he was born. And he's going to be like, what's the big deal? I mean, we've always had the chip. We've always been implanted.
At Front National, National Rally, the political group in France, in January of this year, they had their annual meeting, the kickoff meeting, and they had a bunch of French thinkers come up and address them about what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the future. A guy stood up, one of the top biotech investors in France, and said, the first post full Homo sapien has been born today. And they will be something that is post-man, okay, because of either a chip, artificial intelligence is implanted, who knows? My point is, if you look at it, you've got all these industries going down this path totally unregulated with nobody looking. You got DARPA, your tax dollars, you got private equity, you got stuff happening in China, South Korea, in Eastern Europe. Nobody knows what's going on, right? But you're seeing hints of it. You're hearing hints of it from the Schmidts of the world and from people talking about national security, saying, well, you know, there's some artificial intelligence weapons that could be, you know, very scary. You got the hyper, people are sitting there going, you got the guy came out the other day on the Defense Department saying we're so far behind where the Chinese are. Okay. Then you don't even talk about the CRISPR part, which could get to the biological weapons. We have no earthly idea what's going on. We have no ability to control it right now because, look, I'm a fighter and I fought globalization and I'll take on a lot of fights. This one right here, you kind of sit there and go, where do we even start?
Yeah. Why would the elites want the plebs to be in their Neuralink network?
They don't. Here's what it was. Jane Goodall said it the other day, is that she said the other day, the carrying capacity, their mentality is that, because you can't solve the global crisis. The math doesn't work to solve anything on the climate change crisis at the scale you have of people today, of 7 billion people, okay? Her thing was, hey, the carrying capacity of the Earth that's correct is 500 million. So what the elites what the elites want is 500 million, right? And so when they say the replacement strategy, it's not about whites versus Hispanics versus blacks. It's about Homo sapiens versus the elites want, and all of them focus on this one thing, which is life extension. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The Veritas guys, when they were in the Facebook, you know, he's talking up the young girl and being a big shot and talking about how they worked the election against Trump. The last part of it's the buried lead. He goes, oh, by the way, all Zuckerberg and the wife spend their time on is eternal life and metaverse. He's the one that dropped the bomb on Meta, that they're going to a whole different thing of the embodied internet, and that's where they spend the time. You make a big deal about this election. They don't spend any time on that. They really spend their time on this. The elites in the world are spending their time now financing and looking at extending life, because all of them are godless. They're all atheistic materialists. They want to live forever. Okay, they're in back of this whole thing, and this is not a conspiracy theory. Look at Facebook and Meta,
and they have enough power and influence and money to do so. And it's not just foreign countries, but Steve, it's not just foreign countries. It's Amazon, it's Google developing artificial intelligence, also working with China in order to do so.
Zuckerberg, Google, these are like, we're back in the Middle Ages where you have city states.
Yeah,
Amazon and Google, and that's why I'm a radical populist in this. These companies immediately have to be taken over, immediately have to be controlled like public utilities. They have to get 7% returns. They have to be under the control of the people of this country. They have to be controlled like the regional Bell operating companies were back in the 50s and 60s, the Bell thing. They have to be treated as public utilities. You cannot let a handful of people, okay, on The deplorables money. Remember, Zuckerberg and these guys had no cash at the beginning. This was all their money. Now these companies are out of control. Yeah. To me, Meta, before you get to the embodied internet, we ought to understand what the embodied internet's going to be to the people. Look at the ad they have out, this Meta ad you see with the
metaverse.
Metaverse. You talk about mankind being asleep and just sleepwalking through life. You look at that ad. That ad is like, oh, we're gonna entice you into this new
pod universe, living,
new pod living, and you're gonna be totally asleep. Yeah. This is the sleep of mankind.
Did you see the suicide pods in
assisted
Switzerland?
Assisted pods in Switzerland.
No.
Yeah.
Elon Musk even has monkeys with brain chips that are playing video games right now as we're speaking. As the World Economic Forum literally just released a statement with one of its representatives talking about how we need a population of the world that was 500 years ago. 500 years ago, the population of the world was 461 million people. And they're talking about overpopulation leading to all the world's problems.
This is not some Schmendrick. This is Jane Goodall. Now, she's been saying it forever, but she says, they ask her, what's and I've heard this from people, they call it the carrying capacity of the earth. They've run the numbers on this. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. This is something they work on all the time, and you can see by these different technologies. It shouldn't be lost on people. When China went to when the CCP went to 10 years ago, Made in China 2025, of which they never talk about anymore because they realized they got people's attention that. The 10 industries they were going to dominate by the year 2025, the top six were the industries that converge into the singularity. Okay? CRISPR, advanced chip design, artificial intelligence, artificial general intelligence, robotics, regenerative robotics. Happening today. This is not science fiction. We've hired, by the way, guys at War Room. Joe Allen runs a team, right? We're adding more people to it just to focus on transhumanism. Because I keep telling people, set climate change off the side. That maybe not, who knows? Okay? But this is real, and this is going to happen not in 50 years, not in 30 years, in 10 years. I think you're going to hit the singularity.
What does that mean?
That means you're going to have the ability to have a post-Homo sapien, either between Neuralink, artificial intelligence, a combination of biotechnology.
What does that mean for our lives? What will we experience?
People tapped into the system. The system that they control.
Yeah, exactly. First off, you're going to have somebody that you're going to have, your kids are going to be competing or could compete against beings that are just not Homo sapiens as we know it, right? People that through their own native intelligence, hard work, diligence, but have chips in them, have artificial intelligence, have been biologically changed somehow, right, through CRISPR or other technologies.
Designer
species that are over and above. Now, how is that supposed to compete in college, in education, for jobs? All of a sudden, you're in a species that's not the highest species, right? So you're a Homo sapien. There's a Homo sapien plus. Now I realize a lot of people would say Bannon's lost it.
But no. You're absolutely right. Because I've been researching and studying this for 20 years. They're laying the groundwork right now, especially with the future that you're talking about, where you're going to have a government approved medical procedure to be a part of society, and you will be kicked out of society. You won't have a good social credit score unless you have the injectable that allows you to do so.
If you think I'm crazy, let's go to every major private venture capital firm in the country on their annual meeting where they put up their deals.
Well, Steve,
you look at their deals in technology and artificial intelligence, in machine learning and biotechnology, it lines up to one of these verticals. And these people will tell you, these verticals are converging. They're converging to a point called what Ray Kurzweil. Kurzweil, who was thought of as a nutcase when he came up with this concept 20 years ago, Kurzweil, the singularity, he's the EVP of research and development for, wait for it, Google. Yep. Okay? These are the guy DeepMind. You've got some, obviously the smartest guys in the world are working on these things, and they're converging. And this is a crisis that's building up, because this is the kind of thing like, how do you even regulate it? How do you govern it? And so all this science fiction that's been written about, this is now science fact.
Yep.
Look, Elon Musk, who's people that know him will tell you, maybe not the best manager in the world, but he's one of the top engineers in the world. When that guy comes out and says, in the fall of 2022, that would be less than a year away, I'm going to be able to insert a chip into a human mind, okay? A human mind that's going to take care of somebody who's no spinal cord, who's a paraplegic. That's where it's going to start, okay? But trust me, They've got stuff in the Neuralink lab right now that ain't just working on paraplegics.
It just, it started with the monkey controlling a video game with the chip implanted in its head. And there's a reason a lot of the top globalists, a lot of the top corporatists are eugenicists, believe in population control, and ultimately are transhumanists who want to transcend the human spirit, the human energy into their own form of reality where they control every aspect of it. That's all essentially the end game. It sounds crazy, but there's a lot of insane technological advancements that we don't even know about that we should be talking about. That I can't believe I'm saying this. I believe in anarchy. Should be some regulations surrounding.
Oh no! It has to be regulated. First off, we need.
I can't believe I'm saying it.
Eric Schmidt came out with this, I think 800 page report about a year ago on artificial intelligence that he had done for the Defense Department, and he had done it on Trump's watch. He signaled right there that he said we're in an arms race, and China is so far advanced, and you've heard guys come out since then, including the people at the Pentagon that are in charge of artificial intelligence, saying, hey, we're so far behind. All of a sudden, you get into an arms race on this thing. It's your nuclear weapons. You started at something at Nagasaki and Hiroshima that was one thing, and now because of the perfection of it, right? Think about it for a second. There's more computing capacity in that phone than there was in the Kennedy Space Center when a man went to the moon.
Four kilobits.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Joe Allen, there's an analysis out by a guy, I think he's at MIT. And Joe, I apologize if I don't get it right. Moore's Law, which is the driver of the chip that goes in your brain from Elon Musk, is Moore's Law. Every 18 months, the computing capacity is going, they're going to cut in size and it's going to double.
Every 2 years, computer power doubles.
It's about 18 months. That's Moore's Law, but 2 years. In AI, the guy did the analysis in AI. Joe Allen, in fact, got it up on warroom.org, a summary of the article. He said, hey, they've got a Moore's Law in artificial intelligence, but it's not doubling every 18 months. It's 6X.
Yep. It's perpetual growth that just goes up dramatically.
Do you know what the event horizon is? When AI gains the ability to code itself.
Yep. Artificial general intelligence.
Yeah.
Because you have artificial intelligence and regenerative robotics. When it codes itself is artificial general intelligence. Now, some guys will tell you that's a fantasy. It'll never be able to happen. There's other guys that say, hey, I think we're on the glide slope indicator for like 10 years. My point, we don't know. But what we do know is a massive amount of capital, of your capital, of people's capital, is going into this. And it's not being discussed. DARPA, your tax dollars through the federal government, okay? All these universities everybody goes to are massive research labs for this. Remember, University of North Carolina was one of the biggest testing groups for starting the CCP virus, and nobody knew it went on at Chapel Hill. Okay. There are things at every research university in the country, tremendous amount of resources on your tax dollars, and all your pension funds are fueling this right now.
Nobody
talks about it. Elon Musk drops this thing out. Well, look at this. And it's always some goodwill thing, which is fine. This is to help paraplegic people and people can never move. Well, hey, look, trust me. That's the first thing they're leading with. They've got a whole raft of R&D internally that ain't just helping the people that are crippled.
Yeah, sure. And Bill Gates is working on digital contraception that you could control for a button for people's convenience. Sure. And Bannon gets an incredible amount of government money, but it's also being financed in another way right now when we have the largest, Musk gets an incredible amount of money from the federal government. But there's also 100%. The largest transfer of wealth in recorded human history happening right now, taking money from the poor and middle class and literally being transferred to the billionaire class that's building the prison, building this online technocracy that we're going to be living in soon.
One of the reasons we're doing transhumanism, I said this in a speech in Italy a couple of years ago. I said, look, globalization came about because all these forces kind of came together and nobody stopped it and nobody talked about it. And it was all supposed to be great. It turned out not to be great. It turned out to have many more, more bad things happen than good things happen. And that's why you have the stripping away of jobs, what happened in the United States, all the factories leaving, etc. Transhumanism is the same thing, except it's to the 10th scale. Because globalization, you can start to unwind it. It's tough, but we are unwinding it to a large extent throughout the world. Transhumanism, once you hit the singularity and you're on the other side of it, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. The only point I make is that there's so much research going on, and you got to avoid the thing of conspiracy theories and half-baked ideas. Just look at the verticals. Just take the Chinese and what they try to dominate. Take those same verticals. Look what's happening in the United States. Go to Drudge. I mean, Drudge has got one of the best transhumanist sections. Now, it's all over the page. You got artificial intelligence here. You got robotics here. You got things. But if you look at just the news every day that's coming out, and that's only going to accelerate. It's going to accelerate at an accelerating speed. And we need to get ahead of that. And we need to get ahead of it now.
They're going to celebrate it. They're gonna create that Neuralink chip, which is gonna grant you access to Skyrim. Don't you want to be the noble warrior fighting the dragon?
Dude.
Just implant the chip and plug on in, baby.
Well, the companies building it are the ones already helping influence elections. So when we look at Google, when we look at Amazon, we see them already controlling the minds of the people. We see them controlling culture. We see them controlling entertainment. So of course they're gonna build a support system that's gonna have people saying, "Yes, please inject me with this latest."
They're gonna create chips where I can read. It's read only, so I can read everybody's brain. I'm basically part of the collective. I can read the internet. I can read everything. Then they're going to have a certain class of people that can't afford or whatever. They're going to have write chips where you can write on their brain. Any of us in the class of read only of our elite class can write on their brains and basically mind control them.
If you opt out, this is like the vaccine mandate. If you opt out, remember, they're trying to make you an untouchable right now. If you're whether you're an anti-vaxxer or vaccine hesitant or vaccine resistant, okay? They're trying to other you. Across look what's happening in Austria. Things that would be conspiracy theories in the summer are now facts. Austria says everybody that's unvaccinated is going to be locked down. Then we're going to lock everybody down. Oh, by the way, on 1 February, mandatory vaccination for the entire nation. Germany says the same thing. It's going to happen. We're going to put it in front of the Bundestag in early February. Mandatory vaccinations. Things people would say, oh, that's Bannon and Tim Pool and all these crazies.
Hold on.
These are all facts coming together now. So if you opt out of the singularity from a moral or religious or spiritual point of view, if you think that's going to make vaccine mandate look like a kid's, like a garden party.
Did you see in Sweden they're already implanting chips in their hands?
I saw that with the with
and that
the,
that, that could just be some trendy people trying to, you know.
No, but it is trendy. But it's a beta site test. That's what all this stuff's going.
They've been
to
doing the Verichip thing for over a decade. How long has it been? Like
if
15,
you combine it
years?
All, if you look at it, and then you're going to have a bombshell. Oh, by the way. In the fall of 22, we're going to have the ability to put a silicon chip, right, in your brain to make the people that can't walk and can't move will be able to do all of their functions. Think about that for a second. What we have not been able to do with medicine, and that's just the first of many. You're going to see these announcements.
Here's the issue. To elaborate on what Ian said about read only and write. I think what he may be missing is that it's not going to be that read only is available for the people. You get your Neuralink chip. There's going to be police chips. The police are granted a chip that can read your chip.
Yep.
It's not about whether you think they're going to give you the ability to read someone else's private info. No. The authorities will, however, walk up and say, "What are you doing here?" "Ah, that's a lie. I can see it. I've got a read chip." Then there's going to be high-ranking elites with the right chip, which can change what's in your chip and can shut you out, can shut you down. Law enforcement might be able to do that. But imagine this.
If every venture capital firm had a public presentation and went online, had a public presentation and say, here's where our investments are. Here's what these companies look like in 5 or 10 years. Here's what the technology is going to be developed. The American people would be shocked.
They won't
saying,
need,
what's going on here? Who approved
need,
this?
They won't need tasers ever again. If they can give you the ability to connect your spine, they can certainly interrupt that signal, can't they? So the police officer walks up and the person tries to run, and then all of a sudden the person just stops dead in their tracks. Why? Because the police have the ability to, you know, through Bluetooth within certain range, disable motor functions. If the chips can grant it, certainly they can interrupt those signals. Is that a possibility? I think it certainly is, but I don't know about in 10 years, because they got to get everyone to view this as normal first. That's why I said in 30 years, there's going to be some 18-year-old who's like, "You guys, why are you complaining? Whatever. We've always had our chips." I mean, how many people make videos today where they're like, "The government is forcing us to register a number with them in order to live and work and get access to public accommodation. This is a violation of our civil rights." Nobody, not a single person is putting out videos complaining about social security numbers. So in 30 years, not a single person will be complaining about the singularity. They'll be in it. and they'll be happy. They'll also own nothing.
When Putin's talking about weaponizing artificial intelligence, I don't think many people even realize or understand or could even comprehend the ways that it could be used against populations. So that's one way, one basic way that you're explaining it. But there's multiple personalities when you have an intelligence that is higher than you, higher than any smart person in this entire world. And when you have that capability, when you have that power, how can you control it? How can you stop someone who's a megalomaniac from wielding it? That's the real question that I think we should be asking ourselves, especially with the consequences.
Someone said it's been 2 years and there are already camps in Australia.
Yep.
No due process.
Yep.
You're taken from your home. You are placed in the camp. No due process.
Let me say another thing about many of the scientists and technologists that are in these different verticals also understand the deep moral and ethical problems that they face. I think it's Dr. Doudna. The book, Isaacson's book that won the Pulitzer Prize. I think she won the Nobel Prize. I think they won the Pulitzer Prize. The book about her and CRISPR. Her book, the book she actually wrote that came out before that book, was her doubts about and questions about bioethics. So people in these different areas, there's many people right now that are very concerned. And if you talk to them off the record, right, they're very concerned about where all this is heading. Whereas the benefits may be tremendous in combination or where we're heading hasn't been thought through yet.
What do you think about the mark of the beast?
What do you mean the mark of the beast?
That you cannot buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. It's from what, Revelation? Is it?
Yeah. Book, yes, I know the apocalypse.
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't know about the
buy, sell, or trade. I just assume, like, my general understanding without having looked into it was just that, you know, the apocalypse would happen and people have this mark. And then someone mentioned with the mark of you could not buy, sell, or trade unless you had the mark of the beast. And I'm like, okay, that's really specific. That's kind of crazy, right? Although I do think there's been many, instances. I mean, Nazi Germany, for instance, where your papers, where they've implemented some kind of mandate. But, you know, people now in the chat are alluding to.
Well, that's the vaccine passports.
Yep.
The vaccine passports are an entry level part of that.
But it's social credit scores.
Social credit scores.
And the result.
You have a social credit score here.
Right.
Social credit score here. That's why you're deplatformed. That's why you're deplatformed or definanced and debanked. Yep. Right. Anybody's considered an insurrectionist or anybody's considered anything with 6 January has been deplatformed or Donald Trump. He's starting his own social media company now because as commander in chief, before he's out of office, he was deplatformed by these social media. You know, Miles Guo told me years ago, he said, as powerful as nuclear weapons are, social media is 10 times more powerful, and the Chinese Communist Party know it. Yep. That's why they decapitated. That's why they made 19. They made a decision to go to their own technology companies to start to control these companies of the West. That's why they eviscerated the tech companies back in the spring of this year, where I think it was $600 billion of market cap that was lost of American pension fund money to get control of it. So we live in an era of social credit scores. That's not theory. That's practice.
And it's also with the ESG with major corporations. And it's also with another corporate social credit score that people don't even know about, with corporations leveling you, giving you a score on not just what they could sell you, but your beliefs and your systems as well.
Look, New York City just came out the other day. De Blasio said by December 27th, that's in what, 3 weeks, there's going to be mandatory vaccinations for private companies, yep, and children from 5 to 11
and
are going to have a passport. Yeah, they're going to have a passport to get in basically any function.
And
in
New York City. And did you see the Prime Minister? I think in New Zealand said this will never end. I think, yep, you tweeted that.
Yep.
What's her name? Jacinda or something? We got to go to Super Chats, though. We're going to go to Super Chats. Take some questions from all you guys who've been Super Chatting away. So don't forget to smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel. We're going to have a members only segment coming up around 11 or so. I can only imagine that will be fun and spicy. So let's read what we got. All right. Let's see. I see a lot of people keep demanding that I mention FJB, which I got to say, there you go. I mentioned it.
FJB, the
crypto or whatever. I actually find it, we get so many people trying to pump for their pump and dump scams with crap coins. We'll keep it ish coins.
Yeah, it's the newest.
So I get it. You know, it's funny to make fun of Joe Biden, but seriously, like, people who want to come on here and try and pump whatever coin of the day it is they're trying to make money off of. I'll take your money with your super chat, but I ain't going to read it. Cause this is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to have serious questions and we
got to keep it. So what are they doing with the, what are they doing with the coin?
No, I just,
FJB,
it's just literally a
trash
coin.
Like
it's
Shiba coin.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Doge
the purpose
coin
of it is, if you don't like Joe Biden, buy it. It pumps or whatever, and people are trying to pump and dump. So there's a whole bunch of these. Like, I mean, fine, you can do it, but people are basically playing a game of hot potato. They say, hey, everyone, buy this thing, and then people do, and then people sell out.
It's really interesting to have 100 million people be like, hey, let's all buy, poor people, be like, let's buy this, and they all buy it, and then they all sell it and make money off of it.
They don't all sell it and make money
off of it. Yeah, not all of them.
It's hot potato. But other people come in. Someone gets left holding an
empty bag. It's really...
So long, yeah, what is that? What kind of scheme is that? So long as everyone keeps pumping it, you don't gotta...
Like the SEC's made it illegal with stocks, I would imagine, right?
Well, let's talk about what's really going on. Here's an important one from Eric Johnson. Tim, I made a jardinera pizza like you described last night, and it was great.
Huh.
FJB. There you go. you know what jardinera is?
No.
It's like, I don't know what it is.
Pickled vegetables.
Pickled vegetables, little spicy jalapenos. And it's a big thing in Chicago.
Pickled vegetables.
Like cauliflower,
carrots, jalapenos.
Okay.
And I think celery, too.
I don't know.
Yeah, so and they put it on sandwiches and stuff. I love putting it over a pizza and then baking it. And just so good. All right, let's see what we got.
Pizza again.
We got Punisher Gaming says, I've really enjoyed watching Tim slowly red pill himself by passing out red pills. Never get high on your own supply. Love you guys. We don't always agree, but truly search for the truth. You have my respect. Hey, appreciate it, man. All right. Dimsum Nimsum says, we are hoping for funds to help the obvious financials. Oh, okay. This is about the other one here. Dimsum says, hoping you will shout out and share my sister's GoFundMe. She has thyroid cancer. We're hoping for funds to help the obvious financials she will need to pay because she will be getting ionized radiation treatment. Interesting. I suppose I could shout it out, but there's no information to shout out. But, you know, sorry to hear it, man. Good luck. All right. Charles Balyozian says, don't forget about Erdogan in Turkey. The lira is soaring higher than the Dogecoin. Huh. Turkey has full control of Azerbaijan and Syrian militia. When times are bad, war comes. Watch out for Turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A great NATO ally. Mm.
Oh, I guess people are saying that FJB is being used to donate to people, to veterans.
Yes.
Barleak says, FJB, the official cryptocurrency of the Let's Go Brandon community, loves Steve Bannon and Tim Pool. 50K donated to veterans in 40 days.
Oh.
All right, all right, all right. Cool. So I apologize.
Well, I think you can take the transaction fees off of these things, and they can be quite
I think that's what they're doing. They're using it to in that case. Oh, hey, guys, shout out,
that's
FJB.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry for you, look, we get so many
you
people.
See, all of a sudden you turn so quickly.
We just get so many people who are like, scam crypto. So I'm like, here we go again. We got people saying, you know, whatever. But if it's...
How could something named FJB be a scam? That's a deeply rooted primal scream.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Joshua Schrader says, hey, Tim, as you know, I didn't know this, the new FJB coin cryptocurrency, or maybe someone brought this up before and I forgot about it, has been doing so much for our veterans. But did you know they're also teaming up to launch the first decentralized media blockchain? No more censorship from tech tyrants. God bless. All right. Well, there you go. All right. I like donations to veterans.
You learn something new every
day.
There
you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on the website, letsgobrandoncoin.io. I'm looking, they say what they donate to veterans, but I'm trying to find out exactly what's getting donated.
I think on the there's a transaction fee, right, when you do it. I think a part of that transaction fee goes to veterans.
Oh. Chris B says, Steve, as someone who wants to be more of a bookworm, do you have a list of books to read for those of us who want to who want better understanding of the world and history?
Yes. Should I give that?
Yeah.
Let's name some books. What do you think?
The first one I'd read is an abridged, and maybe I'll come back and give it to you. So the abridged version of Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Gibbons. You ought to read the extended version is a little long. You definitely should read that.
Hmm.
I would read The Best and the Brightest, about the Kennedy and the Vietnam War. Definitely would read that. I would read. I'm trying to think. There's so much stuff, great stuff to read. If you want to read about a tremendous individual, right? Well, I think the greatest president we've ever had, and probably the greatest individual we've ever had in this country, Lincoln. You can read Gore Vidal's novel Lincoln about how people make tough decisions under tough situations. Also, there's tons of there's a great book on geopolitics by Mackinder. You ought to read that, just basics of geopolitics of the world island and Central Asia and how critical it is to kind of world history. So I think those are two or three right off the bat. And I'm trying to think about something in technology or AI that I could recommend right now to read. I'll think about that in a second. But there's so much to read in artificial intelligence and economics and all that that's very important today.
All right. FNP says, Steve, do you believe China's obscure and fraudulent financial structure can collapse. And what is the geopolitical implications of a collapsing China?
Absolutely. I think it can collapse. I think it shouldn't be lost in it. I think it was Grande today went outside the 30-day window of making their interest payment on the bonds. China is a house of cards, even more so than the United States and the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England and the whole Judeo-Christian West's financial system. China is to the fifth power. They just continue to kind of print money, right, and they keep it going, and they live off of our dollars, $4 trillion of U.S. capital. If we cut them, if we cut China off from our capital markets, the Chinese Communist Party would collapse in 90 days. Now, unfortunately, our financial system would also take a major hit, an implosion. That's why it has to be kind of a level down of these gangsters. But no, the shadow banking, what you're seeing in China is absolutely incredible. And here's the thing. Remember, the Chinese people, the Lao Baijing, these noble people of China, old hundred names, save 50 cents of every dollar. They work as slave labor, but they save 50 cents every dollar because there's no social safety net. That capital has been basically exploited by the Chinese Communist Party. They're the first people who are going to get wiped out in the implosion of this real estate market. That's why you've seen these videos. You have the table of the company, and the people are coming in, and women are sitting there with knives up to their throat, saying, "I'll slit my own throat right now unless you give me my cash back," or show up with the real estate because I've lost everything. So the Chinese people are going to be abused here, but I 100% agree with him that it is a completely phony system. Totally, they manage every number there. Everything they tell you to the West is an absolute lie. And Larry Fink and all these Wall Street guys have done nothing but put American capital, which is basically the pension funds of the United States, in there to finance the stripping of our, what I call the stripping of the altars, right? To take all the high value manufacturing jobs over there and now to prop up their real estate market.
All right. Dawson Jackal says, "You might as well take the money I was going to spend on vodka and food. Denied service and entry for not showing vax passport. Welcome to Chinada."
Wow.
"And our new national anthem. Oh, Chinada, this is our leader's land. In true communist love, all of us bow down. With cowardly hearts, we see the rise. The true North, weak and enslaved from far and wide. Mao, keep us safe and remove our rights. Oh, Chinada, we deny your human rights."
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's crazy what's happening in Canada. Justin Trudeau, by the way, even publicly came out and he said one of the things that he likes about the governments in the world, one of the things that sticks out to him is the economy and how it's run in China. And he looks up to the way that they do business there, which is absolutely crazy and mind-blowing.
There you go, man.
He's beyond the Manchurian candidate.
All right, let's see. LTG
of course, his father knows something about communism. Whoa, yeah. I went there.
I
went
there. Too.
I went there.
I was thinking it.
I went there.
LTG says, "I work for NATO in NL. Russia will not invade Ukraine." Will they not?
Interesting. Good.
So it's all just a distraction? Ben Hairston says, "Forget gold, buy chickens. They taste better." And what are you going to do? Carry around gold as you wander from outpost
chickens?
To outpost? No, the chickens follow. Oh, okay. You put them on little chicken leashes, you know, and you just make them walk. They walk themselves. They'll walk and eat at the same time. All right. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, "Hey, all. Steve, at first I didn't know you. Now after IRL, sir, you are a populist and a dang good one at that. Also, why are you wearing three pens?"
It's code.
Prepared. Oh, gosh. Nice. Oh, I see.
So,
it's a two-pen day, three-pen day.
A lot of people said after the first second, you were on, what was that, third time you joined us?
Third
now?
Time.
A lot of people.
I was in the old place.
Mm-hmm. Right, the other studio.
I was in the other studio.
Yeah, yeah. We've had a lot of people say that the only thing they've ever heard of you was what the media had been saying about you. And then to actually hear you speak and hear your ideas, they were like, wow, was the media lying? And I'm kind of like, do you watch this show? Because that's all we basically just say that all the time. The media is lying. So, of course, people actually hear what you have to say. And they're like, this guy actually doesn't sound far right at all. Like the media certainly tries to claim it. I mean, you said it. But when you talk about taxing the rich or the 1% or whatever, that's just populism. It's kind of like centrist.
I'm more than just tax the rich. I think we have to have a to think about a reallocation of assets and resources.
That's what leftist.
That's not leftist because here's the problem with American capitalist. American capitalism. There's not many capitalists. A right wing or a what they call far right or a center right populist believes the central part of this is everybody's got to have a piece of the action. Mm. Right? The problem we've had over the last 40, 50 years is that too much of returns have been to capital and not enough to labor. And so the people, the backbone of the civic society that keeps, people say, well, the United States, the capital markets are so robust. You know, people want to buy in the bonds. They want to buy the stocks. And I go, why is that? And so what's so liquid? I said, well, what causes liquidity? What's so safe? Well, it's not the Security Exchange Commission and our laws and regulations, which are very good, but there are other security laws and security laws around the country. It's our civic society. It's the underpinnings of the safety and security of the United States of America. And that's every cop, every teacher, every nurse, everybody that coaches Little League. That provides this thing called America. That is this sovereign nation, right? That security, that civic society, the thing that every day you see people going to work and kind of self-organizes. That has not been, they have not gotten enough of the piece of the action. That's why people have been here, you know, 10 generations, 9 generations, 8 generations. And right now you're sitting there with, you know, 50% of the families in this country can't put together $1,000 in cash money. Okay. Half the households in this country. I think still 80% of people's net worth is tied up in the home, in their equity of their home. That has to change. We can't have this concentration where our founders, the framers of the Constitution, the founders that fought the revolution was against an arrogant landed aristocracy, both in Parliament and in the crown. Okay. They would be stunned and shocked to come back here today and see that we've turned into an oligarchy, that we have basically turned in to almost like Russia with the tech oligarchs. The oligarchs on Wall Street, and now they're paid servants in Washington, D.C. Remember, those guys are just paid. They're just on the payroll.
Yep.
They don't have any power. Power's in the global corporations, in tech, and in Wall Street. They control these guys, and that's what we have. This country can't go on like that. I keep telling people, you're either going to have some socialist, left-wing, inefficient debacle where you're just getting tip money, or we have to go to a system that everybody has a piece of the action and that we have controlled labor markets, that people, the wages can rise. If we do that and people get peace and get prosperity, America's on, could be on the verge of a massive renaissance. And that's within our boundaries to do.
During Occupy Wall Street, there was, around this time period, there was a document that was made by Citigroup calling America a plutonomy. They said it's no longer a constitutional republic. It's a plutonomy where the wealthy control everything. And this was like a serious document outlining how the country works. And then we saw other data that says the opinions of the general public have zero bearing on the votes of members of Congress.
No, I've seen that.
Yep.
This is why one thing, I would go back to World Economic Forum and their advertising and marketing where they say you're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy. Right, kind of limited zen space.
They're not wrong.
I would like to have a system where you are going to own things called assets. You're going to have real assets, like in real estate. You're also going to have securities and stocks. You're going to actually have ownership. You know, we talk about, and the guys on the left all the time, and I too, about the carried interest. You know, going after carried interest on the private equity firms, starting to tax carried interest. I want to have a different system. I want to have the American people, each individual has a carried interest in the nation, has a carried interest in the economy of the nation. Not just more. And by the way, if they pass Build Back Broke and all this other stuff.
But that's what the Davos says. They say they want everyone who's a stakeholder in our system to be actively involved.
But they don't want you to own anything. They'd say it right there. You're not going to own anything. You're going to be happy. You're just going to be a part of the proletariat. Right? Oh, you're just going to be a working stiff.
And what's going
to
happen
until they get to the time that they can go Homo sapien plus, and then you're going to be unnecessary.
And I think Harriet Tubman was who said, I have freed many slaves. I would have freed many more if only they knew they were slaves.
Yep.
They take away your ability to understand what you don't have, and you won't crave what you don't know exists.
A French poet who died at Verdun in the early days of World War One. It was a devout Catholic, and he had this great saying. He says, it's not for us to report what we see, it's most important for you to see what you see. That is the important thing in your life today, to see what you see. Take the blinders off. Look at what real reality is. Once you do that, you'll be in solidarity of people that want to change the system. Change the system in opposite of state-owned socialism and communism and Marxism, but to true freedom.
Marty Smith fan, he's very on point with this one. He says, I became a Timcast member today because I appreciate Steve Bannon, and that third hour is must see. Yes. War Room Posse in the house.
Yes. Wow.
That's right.
Thank you.
A Timcast member.
Love the posse.
You know,
FJB, baby.
In the events, the website was basically us being like, we need to expand. And we need to have our, you know, preparations to be independent from any of these big social network sites, to have our own website.
You're like Citizen Kane. You're like John Foster Kane or whatever it is. Charles Foster Kane. You've got an empire. Seriously, for all the Timcast people, I came here, and the old studio was fantastic. It was great. But it's not what I'm sitting in today. I mean, this is like...
It's growing.
Upgrade,
This is super upgrade.
Yeah.
It's not easy, though, man. You know, we're navigating the minefields, trying to make sure that there's the conversations that we can still have. And then, you know, effectively...
Social credit score.
The thing about what you just said,
when Tim Pool, who... You've got a lot of scars and combat experience in this whole movement from the Occupy days, and you were in Ukraine.
I mean, I was in Venezuela. Ukraine,
you've
Brazil.
Been in some tough. Think about it for a second. And you're not crazy. You're very reasoned. You've got some ideas that are out there, but you're very reasoned how to do it. When you start every broadcast and you think, I got to watch what I say on these topics, they're winning. That's the system we got to get away from. Because we've got to, as a country, push the envelope.
We should leave the battlefield because it's dangerous. And this is what's really frustrating to me. And I talked with this with Alex Jones about this. I said, the right is losing because they're reckless and they have no tact. They are saying, I'm going to go out into the middle of the battlefield with no strategy and no plan for how I confront those that oppose my ideas. And then they get wiped off the map in 2 seconds. And so as much as there is an issue with we need to be able to talk and have these conversations, there's also the complete knowledge and understanding that YouTube, Twitter, Facebook are key areas of a battle of ideas and information. And when you are confronting ideological opponents on that battlefield, if your ideas, I'm going to walk in right in the middle and yell out exactly how I feel, don't be surprised when you're no longer part of the equation. But I like that movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson a whole lot. Because what does he do? As one guy with his two kids, ambushes the British and takes on massive amounts of the battalions because he thinks about what he's doing first. So let's think about what's happening. You've been banned from YouTube. We haven't yet.
Warren's been banned in perpetuity from Twitter.
But here you are, getting out 99% of your ideas. So as long as we try to maintain... You know, navigating the minefields in this battlefield, we can make sure that 99% of the ideas are still able to persist. And then for the ones where we are actually dealing with major, curtailment, we can always set up our own independent website and make sure people like you get your, you know, ideas out to the best of your ability. People know where to find you at War Room. And then
I got that. And we should. And that's smart. And you got to strategically do it. But we shouldn't have these social media oligarchs who on the public's money, remember, Zuckerberg had no cash. He was living in a dorm in Harvard.
Well, but didn't Peter Thiel give him money?
Well, he put $500,000. My point is, and Peter Thiel's money wasn't Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel was institutional money. All of those guys, when they write you a check, it's a pension. It's a cops, firemen, nurses, teachers' money. It's a pension fund's money. It's called institutional investing. They take a 1 or 2% management fee and 20% of the ups. That's how they make money off their fee structure. That's the carried interest that's not taxed as ordinary income. But they shouldn't have the ability. Tim Pool should never have to walk into this show ever and think about, is there a topic I can't discuss? Let's take Alex Jones for a second. You know, Alex Jones, people say this, that, the other thing. I just take one topic. If you go back and look at what Alex Jones has said about transhumanism, Alex Jones has been ahead of the curve of this thing for what? For 10 years?
Easily.
Alex Jones was talking about the topics we talked about tonight 10 years ago, which when the history of this age is written, people are going to focus, I think, on that, right? And see who the first guys that call it out. And one of it was Alex Jones. And Alex Jones is banned everywhere.
Yep.
Maybe for other activities. My point is that some of his stuff has been absolutely groundbreaking. Okay. For all the madness they say Alex Jones has, you go back and look at the signal, not the noise. The signal has been very strong on some of the most important issues facing our world today. Right. I mean, your stuff's amazing, but people get into it. It's out there and it's not being covered. To think that the mainstream media, and I talk about that, they don't they don't have major stories and connect dots, not just say, oh, you know, Elon Musk, Neuralinks, and he says, oh, yeah, we got to have babies at the same time, but are connecting dots of these technologies.
We should get let's talk about this in the member segment, because there's a lot more I want to say, but I have a lot of super chats.
Okay, fine.
So I think we can do a big conversation with this. So everybody, we're going to have a really serious strategy discussion in the member segment that you should check out. Not to cut you off or anything, but no, there's a lot of really good super chats. Check this out. We got a really, really good one. And, you know, I may not agree with the initial sentiment here, because I've been ragging on Alec Baldwin a lot. I think
that, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he shot that woman, you know, and he might get away with it. But I want to read this one. Brian Coerselman says, I stand behind Alec Baldwin 100%. Standing in front of him is too dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Womp, womp.
All right. Block Viking says, Steve, what do you have to say to a former Bernie bro who doesn't agree with the corporatisms the GOP's historically embraced? And DNC seems to have picked up. Either way, let's go, Brandon.
The populist movement inside the Trump movement who's taken over the Republican Party is anti-corporate. Mm-hmm. We are virulently anti-corporate. Here's the thing, you're getting played. Remember, the most progressive president in history, President Obama, during his watch was the greatest concentration of wealth in the nation's history because of the economic decisions made. The Democratic Party is 100% bought and paid for and owned by corporatists and Wall Street. All of you progressives out there, you're being played. Okay? And that's why a big part of this movement going forward is former Bernie bros. Working class Hispanics, African American men, and Bernie bros are the future of this populist movement, and combined with us. And the reason is we got to break away from the corporations. The corporations don't have your best intentions in mind. Look, they're the oligarchs. They're the ones deplatforming. Remember, I keep telling the Republican Party guys, and I rub their nose in it. I said, you created this monster. Your tax cuts and your deregulation, and now you're sitting there whining that they deplatform you. You and your policies created it. And that's why, and look, I admit when you look at the spectrum or the range of alternatives, I'm a little bit on the hardcore part of this. But that's why I say in Silicon Valley, particularly in social media, I'm for total digital and data sovereignty. Okay. That's why I think things like FJB and other of these coins have to be looked at. Here's the reason. They forced you to do it. They've destroyed the U.S. dollar. They have a printing machine up there in Capitol Hill right now talking about $7 trillion. You owe it to yourself to look at your own digital sovereignty, your own data sovereignty, your own ability to participate in not just in cryptocurrencies, but in other either stores of value. Okay? You owe it to yourself today because they're not going to do it. I would tell the Bernie bro, we are the anti-corporate part of this. We're a workers-based, working-class party. And that's why you see in the Rio Grande Valley, they're supporting Trump. That's what Trump was the weapon. Trump was the armor-piercing shell that went through this, right? And he gave them blunt force trauma. Why do you think they hate him? He's a billionaire. He was part of that whole system. He'll tell you that. They hate him with a pathological hate because he's the armor piercing shell.
Paul Perry wants to know if you're going to be involved in the next Trump administration, you know, after he runs or when he's running.
Well, let me say it this way. In 2020, the war room, we are dedicated and maniacally focused on building the Trump movement. And when we say the Trump movement, taking over school boards, having people become election officials, taking over the Republican Party with populists, with people just going as precinct committeemen, I think the biggest supporter of the president. If to the degree that we participate in the campaign like we did in 16, I don't know, time will tell. My biggest focus right now, the mantra we have right now is 100 seats, 100 years. We can win 100 seats in 2022 and govern this nation for 100 years through the House of Representatives, okay?
But are the Republicans going to do anything?
This is why, by the way, Republican Party since 1968 has won more elections than it's lost, and in the process lost the country. You need to have new people, new blood, and new policies. And I think you're starting to see those people come up. It's always going to be a fight, and they co-opted the Tea Party movement. It's our fight every day to fight this. And to focus on it. But no, I think President Trump, not only is he going to run, I think he's going to win. And I think he's going to win in a big landslide. To the degree that I could ever be of assistance, I will always be assistance. But right now, the war room is where we do it.
I want to make a point too. I see a lot of people are signing up as YouTube members, but that may be a mistake. If you want to watch the member segment, it's at timcast.com. Oh, yeah. Go to timcast.com. Otherwise, you're just as a member supporting the channel, which is greatly appreciated for sure. But again, timcast.com, that's where we're going to have the bigger discussions and everything like that. But all the support's greatly appreciated. If I'm you know, making a mistake, I just see, you know, a lot of people have just signed up. So, all right, let's see. Civilized Age Custom says, if corporations replace workers with AI, eventually there won't be people with income to buy their goods and services. They go to business. So is that going to have an impact on this? On the transhumanism?
They won't slow down because of that problem, right? They're looking to, first off, cut their cost by doing as much of this art. You see this everywhere. I mean, they're particularly in China, they're trying to use as much artificial intelligence and robotics as possible to take out labor costs. So their first issue will be to get rid of labor costs. I think they'll deal with the second part. It's a great point. A lot of this is to be thought through, but right now we can tell you, when you look at the party of Davos, the fourth industrial revolution. When they talk about the fourth industrial revolution, how much humanity is in that? When you look at the fourth industrial revolution and what they're talking about that's going to participate, the human element of that is looked at as inefficient, right? And so they try to extract that. So, it's a great point. It's got to be thought through, but they're going to look at the cost side first.
Do you think universal basic income is part of this too?
I think that's universal basic income is part of the fourth industrial revolution, because I think they're going to say, hey, you're going to be out of a job, but we got to give you X amount of cash, right?
Well,
that's not what people want. People just want to be paid some stipend, some tip money. That's where you go from slavery to indentured servitude. No, you're not an indentured servant. You're not going to live off the tips and the scraps of the elites of this world. They're going to pay a universal basic income, where they're going to pay a couple thousand bucks a month so you can play video games and just vegetate. No.
Yes.
You're a human being. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Act like it. Okay. We're not going to do this.
I got to issue a correction, because they say, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And that's incorrect. Yeah. That's incorrect. You will own many things, like the forest leather boots of agility or the mythical tiara of the dragon queen. You will own a little digital home in your virtual space.
You will have a license to those things.
That's true.
Yeah, whoa.
There you go.
Whoa.
So they shut your power off.
Hey, you're going to have
that's
your
why
little,
you have a wingman.
You're going to have your little server space where you buy your little house. And you're going to show all your friends your digital little house you built in Fallout 3, and everyone can, or Fallout 76, and they can come hang out there and be like, wow.
But, you know, that's one of the things about this life. That's why, if you notice today, people's aspirations are getting tinier and tinier and tinier and tinier.
Van life.
Yeah. Van life. Yep. Tinier and tinier and tinier. Go back and look at the folks that built this nation, right? They came from everywhere. Look at what they accomplished with so little to back them up.
Right. Right? I mean, for me.
And I'm talking working class people that came and built this country. Unbelievable. A vision.
I view myself as having a very similar vision, you know, wanting to build an empire and, you know, find the secrets to immortality and eventually create a singularity in which I will be. I'm kidding.
Hey there. You got me thinking here.
Looks like, wait a minute.
Where's my anarchist? Bring my anarchist in.
No, Luke and I had a joke, like, what, almost 10 years ago? That I was like, you know,
you're going to be the corporatist. I was going to be confronting you outside of your own building, saying, like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm going to be like a
robot. Luke, I got your placard in the SUV. You can start protesting now.
I'll be 50 walking out of a press conference or like flying to Bilderberg, and then Luke will run up and be like, Tim, you know, you were at a meeting and yelling, like, get out of here, Luke. Go.
But they're going to try to co-opt you.
I don't think so.
100% they will. What are you talking about? The way the system does it.
But was some guy to knock on my door and be like, "Hi, I'm with Davos."
Eventually, somebody say, "Hey, I got to meet Tim Pool," and then you meet Tim Pool and said, "Man, if you had $100 million in back, you could do this." That's co-option. I'm not saying you're going to take it. But you're getting at that scale that now people notice you. Everybody talks about the Tim Pool show. Everybody in the right, everybody I know, Posobiec, Navarro, everybody, Cortez. Did you see Tim Pool last night? I got to tell you, my CFO, she won't let me mention her name. She's fantastic. She's a Tim Pool addict. In fact, she flew back from our other office to be here tonight because she's as right wing as you can get. But somebody's going to come to you eventually and say, hey, look, with $200 million, you could expand, you could get off YouTube.
No, I couldn't. I literally couldn't. I've had people offer me money, but it's never been like, hi, I'm an institutional investor with $1 million. I've had people be like, a couple hundred grand, what would that do for you? And you know, the answer is nothing. Yeah, the issue is not money for us.
But a couple hundred million dollars could change your life. Can make things, it can make you grow much, much quicker. Maybe it doesn't. I'm saying you're going to get, they're going to try to come and co-opt you. And the first thing I say, you know what? You know, Luke is great, but you know, Luke is out there sometimes and maybe Luke ought to be in the back and writing. This is the way they do it. They'll try to co-opt you. They'll try to take the edge off. They don't like the edge.
I don't see it happening through investment. I think it's more of I'll put it this way. There's literally zero. There is no money amount that could make this better. But I will tell you, we've got two 501c3 nonprofits, one for creating decentralized tech to make people uncensorable, and the other is to fact check news organizations as well as our own outlet and the fact checkers themselves. So we're going to be going to people and being like, would you like to donate to our 501c3, tax deductible and stuff like that? That's a potential avenue where they might want to put money in, but that's a separate entity outright from whatever it is we're doing here. So they can certainly get involved with the nonprofit and help build technology, I guess. But if someone came to me and said $200 million right now and we would buy X or we would do this, I'd be like, I literally have no idea what to do with that money. And it's not going to change anything we do. We've already, we've gone through project pitches and I'm like, the problem is not money for us. Granted, I'm not trying to act like we have $200 million or anything like that. It's just that finding driven, passionate, talented people is the challenge. Money doesn't solve that. It doesn't. I've been through it. It doesn't solve it. You just got to build it up slowly over time, rough around the edges, and you slowly get something like we're in now. Look at, you notice the lights around the edge of the room? We've gotten rid of studio lights. We've done a new thing with LED strips. It's just, you know, people come to me and they ask me, how did you build all this all up? And I'm just like, one step at a time. It's not like this thing where we sat down and did all this crazy research and funded R&D. It was literally like, hey, you know what I noticed? Our lighting sucks. And then we had one guy be like, you ever see these LED strips? And I was like, look at that. And that's how it happens. If someone came in and said, here's $200 million, have a good time, I'd be like, that literally won't get us anything we can need. I mean, I suppose I could buy a skyscraper or something, or like a big building.
Go buy a cable TV channel.
Why would I want a cable TV channel? What am I going to
do with that? Because you get off YouTube. Then YouTube. Then you can talk about anything you want. Right now, you can't talk about anything you want.
You can't talk about anything you want on cable channels.
Sure you can. You can talk about anything you want.
But well, let's do this. We're gonna go to TimCast.com member segment.
I'm gonna come and tell you $200 million we're entrusting.
Well, that's gonna be your TV channel.
No. We're gonna test him.
I'll tell you this. I've been there with
somebody's gonna come to you one day. Okay, so, somebody, because of the success of this and the impact it's had, somebody is going to come to you with that size check.
I don't think so.
That size check. So when this happens, write it down. It's 7 December, 2021. Somebody will come with you to you, and there's gonna be hooks on it. The hooks are going to be, hey, you know, it's kind of edgy. You know, can we do this? Can we talk more about this? But that's the Faustian bargain you make with capital.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think any one of these institutional investors who have done a psych profile on me based on the things I've said, they're going to be like, that guy's too risky. Don't go near him.
You're not risky as a businessman, though. You've built a great business. You actually know how to mitigate risk. Remember, the thing about entrepreneurs that people want to know is not are they risk takers. You know you have the energy driving forward, the motive force, but do you know intuitively how to mitigate your risk?
Let's jump to the TimCast.com member segment. So everybody who's watching, go to TimCast.com, sign up. We're going to immediately just jumpstart into this talk about censorship, co-opting, the deep state, all this stuff. I got a lot to say, but I don't want to run too late. I want to make sure we get this up for you. So again, TimCast.com, sign up now. And you can follow the show at TimCastIRL. Smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. You can follow me at TimCast. Steve, where can people find you?
Go to warroom.org. We're on live every day from 10 to noon Eastern time and then at 5 to 6. And you can go to War Room. You download the podcast. We got show notes, everything. And I'm on Getter. So you can go to Getter under Steve Bannon at Getter. So just go there. That's the one site I've got. And we got the War Room over there. So Getter or go to warroom.org and you see every day.
Right on.
Or look at MSNBC because every day they're taking a shot at me.
Did you see that photo from the War Room, your show? Where they announced what was going on with you and the
oh yes yes
like right in behind the back. You. Yeah, all right.
Also, Tim, you know, don't forget, I'm here waiting to confront you any moment, anytime. but that's a separate story. Also, a lot of people forget I have my own media organization where I have confronted a lot of the globalists. And to find out about that plus a lot more, sign up on my email list, enoughofcensorship.com, enoughofcensorship.com. That's the one way that I can't be censored. And, of course, I have a YouTube channel, We Are Change on YouTube. We Are Change. Hope to see some of you guys there.
Love you guys so much. Thank you for coming. Steve, always a pleasure, my man.
Love being here with you.
Gorgeous.
Guys.
Good to see you again. Lydia, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, Lydia, thanks for setting us up.
Yeah, I'm always happy to have Steve. We really enjoy his presence. He's very wise, very well-rounded. So I was instructed to ask you if you've ever heard of the term Kali Yuga. Are you familiar with this
Kali,
term?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We're in the Kali Yuga.
That's what Rogan was saying.
Explain this.
We're in the Kali Yuga.
Well, why don't we talk about that later?
All right, we're going to have to hold on to it. Okay, I just had to.
Did Joe Rogan mention the Kali Yuga?
He did, yeah.
A couple weeks ago on the show.
Oh, no, we're in the Kali Yuga right now.
Okay.
Well, if you want to know what that is, you're going to have to go to timcast.com, be a member. Right. And did you mention your
social? Oh, yeah, no. You guys can follow me on Twitter at sourpatchlets.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out again for the 80 billionth time. We'll see you over at timcast.com.
Bye, guys.